Tonight, we interview Rick of Tipping Goat Games, makers of the Super Sports Mashup title, Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. We're back to get caught up on the last 2 weeks of gaming news, GamerX, your comments, and more. And it all starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio tonight with episode number 624 of our show, December the 20th of 2015. Our last show before the big holiday, right here in the midst of the holiday season. So happy holidays to all of you guys out there and to my co-host here in studio. My name is Rob Roberts, but you might know me as Sky on Twitter, SKIE. And joining me, as always, say hello to the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hello. How are you, Jamie Summers?
All right. Just things happen.
Did we have a fun adventure last week?
We did. I had a great fun adventure, and my feet are still arguing at me for those boots, but otherwise, it was a great adventure.
Your cosplay looked great at the show, and I know that there's pictures of you around on the interwebs.
I'm on Unicorn Booty, which I laugh about to no end.
It's a pretty hilarious website name, isn't it?
It is.
There is actually, they had like one of the, you know, like those standees you see as you're walking in to like big events. You know, you always see like the big wall with all the company logos, right? So there was one outside of GamerX for that company, and it looked like a unicorn that was about to like kick your ass. And I was like, I wanted to take a picture underneath it, like it was about to kick me in the face, but I didn't, I didn't want to hold up traffic so I could have my awkward photo. So it didn't end up happening.
Well, they were stopping people to take pictures in front of.
That's good. That,
like, I was going to look for, and I feel bad because now I can't make my brain think of his name. Josh? John? The Templar guy. Who was Caden?
I don't recall his name, but he looked great if he's out there listening.
Well, they got us together in front of the unicorn booty thing. Mm-hmm. And now I'm so mad at myself because, like, I can't think of, like, hardly anyone's name today.
So that's okay.
It's okay, but I saw Star Wars and life is good.
All right, fair enough. Also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hi.
How are you doing, Loki?
I enjoyed half that bird, and I'm not enjoying the other half of that bird.
Is your microphone on, Loki? Because I don't know if we're picking you up for some reason.
I am completely on.
Oh, you're just quiet tonight for some reason.
I am not completely quiet.
All right, there you go.
You have levels problems.
We are having audio problems left and right in the studio tonight, and I'll get into that in a
minute. I guess I'll just have to talk louder.
No, you're good. You're perfectly fine now. I don't know what the hell's going on. For some reason, you're not looping back through the internal speakers like I'm used to, but you're picking up on the register, so I know the audience can hear you.
Okay.
Oh, my God. If it's not one thing breaking in studio, it's another. I'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, Loki, how has your couple weeks been? You weren't able to go to the show, I know, but
no.
How was your week off?
I don't remember what I did. I think I played Fallout, maybe, mm-hmm. or maybe Ingress, probably Ingress.
Probably a lot of Ingress.
Bit. I think a little bit of Ingress, and then I stayed home for some of that.
You know, I was reading an article, which didn't make our show roll tonight, but it was about Pokemon Go, and there's some more information because there was an interview out there with Pokemon Go, and I guess part of why the Pokemon company wanted to team up with Niantic, who are the makers of Ingress, to make Pokemon Go is that the head of the Pokemon company is actually a high-level Ingress player, and like the president of Niantic was like, he's a higher-level player than I am. So that kind of made me chuckle. But from what I understand, Ingress is really big in Japan. I don't know if that's true or just kind of something through the grapevine, but it tells you why Pokemon Go, which I do think that is going to be quite the mobile game next year because it's going to be a mobile game very unlike the typical, I'm going to use my quotey fingers, mobile game. Like, it's not going to be Candy Crush.
I guess. Yeah. I don't like Pokemon, though, so we'll see.
Maybe this will be it.
Yeah.
This will be the first hit. I don't know. Anyhow, we also want to welcome the ever-present fourth guest on our show, the chat room. Hello to our chat room. We do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network. Live.vognetwork.com is where you can find our chat room. And, of course, we do tape live Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Black Wolf show. We have folks in chat there saying, Dungeon Buster says, punch those audio problems with the dark side.
I was like this close to going to see Star Wars before the show, but I had to cook like three things for my wife. And by that time I was like, I'm not going to make it there on time. I'm going to miss the new Deadpool preview and that's going to make me sad. So I decided not to. Plus I would have gotten here late.
It's all good. It's fine. I'm hoping to get out during the week at some point. We'll see. SSGO and Hunter Matt and Chad over at live.vognetwork.com saying nothing can silence Loki. That it, you know what? The systems in here have been trying tonight. So real quick recap. First off, I want to say a big welcome to those of you. We talked to a lot of people at GX3 or GamerX that stopped by the table. So if there's any new listeners out there listening to OLR tonight who might have stopped by and said hi to us over at our table, which could include, by the way, I had a conversation with podcasting with Trixie Mattel from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 7. You missed that, Jamie, when Trixie came by the table. But turns out Trixie listens to podcasts, so on her flights back and forth to different shows. So shout out to Trixie if you're out there listening. Hashtag justice for Trixie or whatever it was. Anyway, so all that aside, we talked to a lot of people there at the expo, drag queens and non-drag queens, actually a lot of non-drag queens. Just talked about podcasting and everything that we have on the network with our variety of shows and how we have shows about like Star Trek and World of Warcraft and movies and TVs. And so hoping we got a few listeners from that. So if this is your first time listening to Orange Lounge Radio, welcome. We have been running, oh golly, nonstop since 2002. We started as an internet radio program dedicated to Dance Dance Revolution and music-based video games, and kind of grew from that into all things video gaming, because, of course, we were just fans of video games first. It just so happens we were playing at the time a lot of Parappa the Rappa and Bust a Move or Bust a Groove, depending on what country you were in. So we were talking about that for a while, and then we did games. So we like to be very interactive. We call ourselves a show where every gamer has a voice, and we invite you guys to pull up a chair with us at our dinner table. Because one thing we used to do when we played Dance Dance Revolution is after we played some DDR, we would go to the cafe right across the street and sit down and talk some smack about video games. So that's what we do here.
And order fried food because, you know, nothing better than after working out for a while to
right.
eat some fried foods to offset it.
We just burned off all those calories playing DDR. Let's have some mozzarella sticks. Let's do it right now. So we've kind of kept that tradition going now for going into next year. Our 14th year is next year. Every time I say the number, I die a little inside. All right.
We're entering high school.
We love it. We love you guys. We love doing this, and we're going to do
freshmen.
It for a long time. Although the computer tonight really didn't want it to happen. I come into the studio after a two-week break. And again, we've been a little bit admittedly, we've been spotty the past couple months. I can't stand it because I got sick. Then we had Thanksgiving, but I fell, had that fall, and I wouldn't have been able to do the show anyway. And then we had GX, which admittedly was an awesome reason to miss the show. I don't apologize for that. But I don't like that we miss so many shows back to back. We like to be here every single week. But tonight, I come in the studio, computer won't power on. I'm like, what the hell? So I figured it must have tripped the breaker at some point. I'd like hold in the power button for a second. Finally figured it out, got it working. I'm like, phew. Then it looks like Alan unplugged the internet at some point, which is fine. That happens. Sometimes you got to clean the hall, so the cord's got to go or whatever. And then, so finally figure that out. But the cord, it's like one of those things where the cord, we have this super long cord. It's like a 100-foot cord that runs from the computer all the way to the
really
router in the other
room. Like one of those that I have it at home. It's Ethernet through power. You just plug it into the wall.
That would be cool. And you guys might be thinking, why don't you just use Wi-Fi? Because it's internet radio and we're streaming constantly, we really have to have a wired connection for that.
If your Comcast is anything like my Comcast, it's fucking sucked.
Exactly.
Like, I'm just like, it's seriously getting worse every day, and I'm not sure how that's possible.
So, finally figured out the net thing. I just had to bend the cord just right at, like, the 30-degree angle that'll make it get the signal. Okay, so then, finally, you know, I had a moment of weakness, and I clicked yes when Skype said, do you want to upgrade Skype? And now it won't work. I try to bring it up, and it says, sorry, we can't find the internet while I'm running IRC and Google and everything else in the background. It's like, sorry, can't find the internet. So I'm like, all right, well, there's plenty of websites out there where I can download the old version. So download old version, Skype 5.0, and still won't work. So trying to install Skype, messed my settings. So I'm going to have to look into that this week. So we have this whole rig set up in studio where I've got my iPhone plugged into our mixing board so we can hopefully take some calls later in the show, but so we can definitely tonight bring you an interview. I'm very excited. We're going to have a guest on the show tonight. One of the cool things about going to an expo like GX, got to talk to a lot of indie developers that were there showing their stuff. And one of the games that we saw actually made that transition from early access to a fully fledged release game on Steam this week. So we're excited. We're going to have Rick on the show tonight from Tipping Goat Games. Love that name. Going to talk to us tonight about Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. And this is a game that kind of takes a lot of 8-bit retro sports games, and it's like a giant Katamari ball that rolls them all up, and it's one game that incorporates all these elements. So we're going to have Rick on in about 15 minutes to tell us a little more about how that game works. And I think he's shown this game at some of the Penny Arcade Expos and some other places, so I know some of our listeners are actually well aware of this game that weren't even at GX. So you may not know, though, that it's actually out now on Steam. If you want to try it out for yourself, you can check that out. Just use that old search box in Steam, and you will be happily on your way. Rick will be joining us live, and you can ask your questions about the game. In fact, I see SSJ100 Matt in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, "I'm hyped about this game." If you want to ask Rick some questions, we will be fielding questions from our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. But first, we need to recap what happened while we were gone. We missed a week of show, so I think we need to do last week's news, Setaholic. So while we were gone last week for GX, Minecraft finally launched on the Wii U. But if you were looking forward to that Wii U gamepad support so you could do inventory management and stuff on Minecraft Wii U, sorry, but you can do off-screen play like you can do in every Wii U game. So there you go. Also, Mercedes-Benz and Nintendo teamed up for a Super Mario Maker costume. And it's actually in the game now, and you can actually play as a little race car in Super Mario Maker. And I know there was some more news on Mario Maker this week we'll get into a little bit later. And also, a new patent supposedly serviced for the Nintendo NX last week. A weird controller that actually had a video or an image screen built into the controller. I don't know. It looked a little weird to me, but I guess it's the way they could change the controller and how it looks on the fly.
You mean like a touchpad where they can have assigned buttons to random spots? That sounds fucking terrible.
Yeah,
it's like, geez, you know what I really wish I had in my console gaming experience is that wonderful, you know, usability of not having buttons on a touchpad or mobile device.
Yeah, I have real problems with this if the buttons are fake. Because it doesn't work well for mobile gaming unless that is the way the game is meant to be controlled, is with swiping and dragging. Like, for some games, it works fine. But when you try to take, like, if you were to take Super Mario Brothers and just put it on iPhone or Android, it would be horrible. Sonic is that way on the phone, right? And it stinks. I'm sorry, I love Sonic, but it stinks on mobile devices because tangible controls are different than touch button controls. So, now, if the whole thing with NX is that the controller is a TV, but it has tangible buttons kind of inside it, like, you know what I mean? Like, the TV's built around those controls, then I think that's kind of weird as hell.
I think it's stupid.
We'll try it.
And the reason why I think it's stupid is because my hand is on the controller. I can't see the image under my hand. So I don't see the point.
Depending on the design of the controller, like, okay, I think about a controller like the Nintendo 64 controller. That thing was a fat controller, or the original Xbox controller. Jesus. That thing was
I don't want to hold a fucking LCD screen in my hand like that, you know.
But see, maybe I'm weird, but I like the Wii U gamepad controller. It doesn't bother me the way it bothers everybody else.
I like it until I played Minecraft with it, and I fucking hate it. I seriously, like, it made me realize how much I hate that controller.
Well, anyway, now keep in mind, it's a patent. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. People like to jump to conclusions with this stuff. We won't really know anything until E3 next year, but it's very interesting nonetheless. So those are some of the big stories from the week that we were gone. Anything else we want to talk about with GX? Dark Sakura, how was your GX experience? I mean, I know you did the costume and had your picture taken a lot. You were a Grey Warden from Dragon Age, mm-hmm. and very well received. I know they had a contest. Sadly, no trophies for Dark Sakura, but you had some stiff competition, and I think you were just doing it for fun, right?
So, well, I wanted to win something. I mean,
Winning's nice. Winning's nice.
I had a really good time. I only bonked a few people with my staff. It broke a lot. And I did repairs like three nights in a row, it seemed.
It's a miracle that we got this. Which, by the way, she had this full-length staff with like this intricate skull thing on the top of it. And then like a metal, it wasn't actually a metal blade.
But an illusion of a
metal. Yeah, illusion of a metal blade at the end. Somehow fit that thing in my car with five people in my little Civic.
The whole thing ended up being something like 6.5 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely another 1.5 feet taller than me. So, but we got it to fit in the car, and I carried it around the whole convention and walked in boots that I really should have had better insoles for. But it was a really good time. You know, I didn't really want to get back into the costume after dinner to go back to the cosplay dance, and I heard there was drama, so I'm kind of glad I didn't go. Drama in the form of...
Oh, yeah. There was, you know, I don't want to linger on the negative, but somebody had way too much to drink, and I think it was more than just liquor. That's all I'm going to say. And kind of had to get, basically the ambulance was called on him and had to get taken out of the place, and it kind of shut the thing down early. But you know what? For those not involved, I mean, it was handled well. The guy got the medical attention he needed. He was fine because he was on the gurney, you know, making motions and things, so I know he's fine, but it didn't really like ruin the party, if that makes sense. Yeah, it ended it early, but it didn't like ruin the spirit or anything, so for what it's worth.
Well, at any rate, I would say that I'm not the same type of con goer I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a really good time cosplaying. I really missed it because it's been a while since I've done any kind of serious cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria did a great job with the costume itself, and all the props were mine. But
did you get to participate or see any panels or get to
I didn't go to any panels,
play games?
But our own.
Yeah, how'd the podcast Cross Zone panel go for you?
It was really, really cool.
Yeah,
it was good that we just kept moving around and got to make some good points and talk with, you know, people in the crowd. It was great. I did play fake Scrabble in costume against a Templar to see mm-hmm. who could spell better,
mm-hmm.
as in haha spell, lol. I can put we've actually got pictures up on Twitter, so I can find them and link them in the chat room. I was really tired though at the end of every day. I mean, that kind of goes without saying.
Yeah, cons can be really draining.
Yeah, but I'm hoping to break the costume back out for a day of SAC anime if all goes to plan.
Excellent.
And other than that, yeah.
Great.
Had a good time.
I played
the sports ball game, which is what I'm nicknaming it in my head because the name's kind of long. and I played that goggle game, not the Oculus type game with the Samsung headset.
I was just about to ask this because they were demoing a game on Oculus, and I apologize so much to these creators because I forget the names of the games in the moment, but there was one on the Oculus and there was one using the Gear VR, and you played the Gear VR one, right?
I did, because it can be adjusted to nearsighted. And mm-hmm. you know what's funny is that I was actually speaking an email with the creators, and I think I CC'd you on my reply. I don't know if you got it.
Yeah, I probably did, but you know, trying to organize stuff for a few weeks out. But
well, yeah, but I'm trying. Yeah, I've got the email right here, so I can actually get the name. It was Bizarre VR.
Oh, okay.
That was it. I knew it had something to do with Bizarre, but I wanted to make sure. But yeah, it was pretty fun, and they're great people. Her name was Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
Working there, which I would love to have them on the show too.
We'll make it happen. We will.
Yeah. But at any rate, those were the big things that I played. I tried a few other things, but those were really my two.
Now, I got to back up though for a minute when you talk about VR, because you have openly talked on the show about that a lot of first person games will make you very motion sick, and like you don't like to play things like Skyrim in first person because that can really kind of mess with you. It happens. And I can, after playing Fast Racing Neo this week, which I'll talk about later, I can totally see how that happens to people. But I can imagine there might have been some hesitation to get into VR, but how did that go for you, all things considered?
I wonder if part of it was because I wasn't wearing my glasses. But I seem to do just fine. I mean, after a little while, I got a headache, which is about normal.
Right.
You know, got a little queasy, like, with some of the turns.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really smooth for the most part. And there is a big part of me that's wondering if it's because of my glasses.
Interesting.
You know, the fact that I was pretty much using unfiltered. Because, I mean, I'm going to break down a little science here. Glasses will refract light so that your eyeballs will see it at the right magnification instead of having the focal point be in a place other than where your eyes are set to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, it was actually being projected to me at what was fine for my eyes. And I think that something in that like might have made it to where I didn't get as motion sick, because I didn't get the same kind of weird eye strain that I get with monitors and things too. It just wasn't there.
And I suppose this is a question worth asking. What was the game? What was the experience in there?
You basically float around on a flying carpet, and you look around for missing things in each level. And you can find coins.
Oh, so when you say bazaar, it's like Aladdin's...
B-A-Z-A-A-R.
Okay, not like Bazaar Love Triangle, is what came to my mind.
Bazaar, Bizarre.
Does it play New Order?
No, but the music's really good in it.
Okay.
I liked it. She was talking about the composer.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, the music was really good. It's basically you go through these different like floating levels. Well, you're on the carpet, but you're over a canal, and then you have to look for the different pieces. And it's funny, if you look up, you can see the sky, and you've got constellations that match the different things that you're looking for. So you get all the pieces for that, and then you unlock the next level, and you've got like a shop that you can pick up like extra like Turkish delight and other things, which I'm wondering if there's going to be like more stuff added, like enemies and things as you go. But
well, I'm sure a lot of these games were in early development.
But it was very pink, but but it was a pretty good game. It was a pretty good game. I was very pleased with it and had a lot of fun playing it. And I didn't, you know, I could have kept going if not for the little bit of a headache.
Sure.
Just the one thing that that actually really helped me stay centered is keeping my hand on the table.
Oh, okay.
So that because my feet were rooted, right?
Right.
But keeping my hand on the table kind of connected me back.
Yeah, it kind of like didn't let you go all in. It kept you grounded, literally, like a lightning rod or something.
I would say more that it kept me oriented.
Okay.
So that I knew which way I was facing. And if I couldn't find the table with my hand, I knew that I was facing away from the table because it would have been behind me.
Okay.
So it really was like my anchor.
Okay.
In this case, kept me focused on where my directions were and where I was facing, so that I knew at any given point that if I had to take that thing off and run, for example, I know I'd be going in the right direction. I'd know which way to turn.
Okay.
Which is it's actually always been a thing for me, is always knowing where my exit routes are.
So Jamie survived her first Gear VR experience and didn't get sick or anything. And
didn't have a panic attack.
Had some ideas on how to make that experience work for you. That's great.
Yeah, it was a cute game, and I really had a good time. I'd like to see it. Actually, Dan and I were talking about this today, where we were talking about how they have those VR sets and would love to see something like that for iOS.
Mm.
You know, having something like that would definitely open doors for more gamers. And honestly enough, I could see things like that really working well with like Google Maps, for example, how you have that walk view.
Yeah.
You know, imagine having virtual tours and whatnot, or, you know, say people, here's a business idea, virtual house tours if you're buying a model home.
Yeah.
You know, if you say, oh, well, I like this, but I want a counter here.
Or you know,
look at the thing and navigate the menu.
You know how people will move to a city they haven't even been to yet because of a job or something, and they have to like get an apartment kind of like unseen?
Mm-hmm.
Like a VR experience could really bring that to you. I mean, it's interesting that we're having this conversation because, you know, you go back a few months ago to one of the big stories with VR that Facebook bought Oculus, right? And people were like, why does Facebook want to get into gaming? And it's like, yo, there's way more to Oculus than just gaming. And there's a great example, although I feel like I should patent pending. That's my business because I can make some money on that.
Well, there's also people who, well, like for me being nearsighted, that's one thing. I could take off my glasses and see just fine in the game. And if you have people with, say, who have to have like things magnified for them, you have that adjustable thing on the goggle, and you know it can help people who may have difficulty, you know, seeing in general. Or, you know, something that can change brightness and everything for people with dimmed vision, stuff like that, improve contrast. You know, it could be possible that you even have, like, another camera on the other side. I mean, there's all kinds of ideas for application of things like that. But for the most part, you know, despite, you know, we could speculate all night about, you know, what type of things we could see come out of that type of technology. But in the end, I mean, I have no problem with games. So
we can do some games, too, over there. SG100 Matt noting in the chat over at live.vognetwork.com, all three OLR hosts have dove into the Rift now. Yes, that is. Well, technically, you didn't do the Rift.
I didn't do the Rift.
But
because I couldn't wear my glasses with the Oculus Rift.
Yeah. But, you know, we've all had the VR headset experience. Yeah. Modern.
Is there something else that occurred to me? Do you remember E3 a while back where they had the sphere that you touch it and it gives you, almost topographical feedback where it would develop texture. And
yes.
Could you imagine something like that with the Oculus?
You know, that was a rumor for, believe it or not, that's been a rumor for Nintendo's DS at one point that it would have something like that. And it was a rumor for iPhones at one point. And I think iPhones did the reverse of that with the force push that they have in the, I'm talking like it's Star Wars, but you know what I mean? Like the force feedback thing they have in the new iPhones.
3D touch.
Yeah, that's it. 3D touch.
However, it has done kind of the reverse in the form of the haptic feedback on the Apple Watch.
Ah.
Which.
Gotcha.
Basically, it's for me, my haptic feedback is you got a text message and turn bitch for my directions.
All right.
Or get off your ass and stand up.
Loki, were you trying to add something here a minute ago to the VR discussion? I'm sorry.
No.
Thought I saw you pick up your mic. All right. But
well, he could have picked up his mic because he wanted to.
Maybe. Who knows? Quickly, before we get to our guests tonight, I know there was some other stuff in the exhibit hall, too. A lot of crafters that kind of make their own things.
Oh, yeah. I was hanging out with the artists like the entire time. It was great.
Some really talented people
in
there.
Made some good friends there. Actually did like a little fake menorah lighting with one of them. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and basically I watched her booth so she could get a beer.
Nice.
They were giving the beers out. Because, yeah, they gave us beer and it was great. Thank you, Intel, for beer. I actually hung out with a few people from Intel just talking shop for a while.
They had a really interesting booth where they had walls where you could basically write down, and it was these questions like, what do you want to see in gaming in a few years? And what do you, you know, it was these very, especially considering the audience that GX targets, which is this very diverse audience that sometimes feels like in that Xbox Live culture where a lot of nasty things are flinged around that maybe they don't fit in. It was very interesting to see kind of a lot of what was written on the wall. I thought that was a very neat idea. But I will say this. I don't know how you feel about this, Darksakura, but I would say, and I just want to say footnote, I don't want this to read as like a huge negative or anything because I love GamerX. I love GX. I financially supported this expo in a big way this year. But I found that in the expo hall, I was a little taken aback by how you had some big exhibitors there that didn't really bring games. Like you have
Grindr.
You have Blizzard that was there with Jobs or whatever. Intel had their walls, but that was cool. And they gave away cookies, so I'm not going to – but
the Rock Band area was fun.
The Rock Band did it right. But I thought it was so weird that Blizzard had this big presence, and it was like they had a job seeker there. And it was like no Overwatch, no World of Warcraft.
Keep in mind, I actually did talk with the ladies there for a while.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And they were both, the whole company's buckling down for stuff right now.
Yeah, and Overwatch has been down for maintenance too, so maybe that came into play too. But
yeah.
I was kind of surprised, especially coming off of last year where you had Gearbox was there showing Borderlands, the pre-sequel or whatever it was. That was the first time that was playable was at the last GX. Not that I'm saying I expect cutting-edge stuff out of the Expo, but I was just surprised that the Expo Hall itself only had the indie games, which is great because I found a lot of good stuff there. But it didn't have any corporate games, considering all that corporate support that went into it. I was a little surprised by that compared to last year. But again, I don't want that to read like a negative because I do think the con is doing some good things. And I kind of think everybody involved realizes that. I don't think I'm the first person to say that. And so I kind of think that's already on their radar for what can we do next year to put the bigger game in GamerX.
The only reason I wish we'd been able to stay for the closing ceremonies and feedback was to please beg for the cosplay contest to go back to the Saturday night instead of Sunday.
I have a feeling the only reason it was on Sunday was because the talent that hosted it, that was the day they were in town. I have a weird feeling. But then again, they were there Saturday night. Because they came by the table Saturday night, so I don't know.
Yeah, and that's just a lot of, especially since, like, us, we checked out of our hotel.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
And when you are dealing with that much crap, you know, props and your costume and needing help, because Alan had to help me change into parts of my costume, you need to have access to your hotel room for that kind of stuff. So... But other than that, I mean, everything was really smooth. The cosplay contest in general was run a lot more smoothly than it was last year.
Yeah. And I thought, I did just want to say the space, you know, it was a big transition for them to go from San Francisco to San Jose. I loved the new space.
It worked
so
better.
Much. It worked so much better. So much more room to move around. The convention center was great.
It felt more con-like.
Yes.
Than... Yes.
Although I kind of felt like they probably could have sold more tickets. I mean, from what I heard, it was close to a sellout, but it didn't look like... I kind of feel like they could have packed more people in there if they wanted to.
I think it'll get bigger. I don't know if it's going to be Faname big for a while, but
it's
going to get bigger.
Yeah. And again, there were so many great things to come out of it. So much networking that I did. Like, I had a great time and just the festivities.
I just made a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just hanging with cool people.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one of the cool people we met at the convention had the booth like right near us, and we were looking at that game going, what is that? That looks kind of like, is that dodgeball? What is that guy's playing over there? And turns out it's a game called Super Slam Dunk Touchdown, and it's like a bunch of 8-bit sports games all rolled into one, and we played
and the
it.
The roller derby character is the best.
And we played it. We had a lot of fun with it, and I was like, oh, we got to get you on the show. When does it come out? And he said, this week. I was like, oh, well, shoot. So we're going to get him on the line right now. We're going to give Rick a call, and Rick is with Tipping Goat Games, and he's going to talk to us tonight about this game, Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. And I think we have him on the line. Rick, are you there?
Yes, hello. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem, Rick. Thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure.
How was GX for you? Did you have a good time at the show?
I had a great time. It was I've done a lot of expos, and so they've ranged from nightmarish to just a pleasant time, and that was on the positive end of the spectrum. So I'm positive about that show. It was a good show.
Now, I didn't realize this about you when we were playing the game and there at the expo, but that the GX was kind of in your backyard. It was local to you, right? So that must have made it very convenient.
Oh, yeah, it was super easy. Just parked, carried my stuff in, I was done.
I know, that was the great thing about us having a table that didn't involve computers or any of that stuff, because it was like we could just kind of carry it all in one setting. It was great.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about Super Slam Dunk Touchdown for those of our listeners out there who weren't at GX, which is unfortunately most people. Tell us a little bit about the game and what it looks like and what it's like.
Sure. It's a local multiplayer, irreverent, all sports mashup. So as you mentioned, 8-bit games, it's sort of inspired by 8 and 16-bit era games that didn't take themselves terribly seriously, the sports games of that era. So you mentioned Super Dodgeball, which is a lot of people make that comparison as well. So it looks retro. It's got 8 16-bit sort of graphics, but it's actually driven by 3D physics. So there's kind of nuance to how the balls move and everything.
Hmm. How did you get inspired to do a game like this? Where did it come from when you put pen to paper and said, this is the game I want to make?
This game has been burning a hole in my brain for about 6 years now. I finally have been able to release it, but about 6 years ago, I was like, I really want to make an all sports crazy mashup game. And it probably comes from just growing up in an era of local multiplayer. That was the only kind of multiplayer back then. And I feel like social gaming to me is people hanging out together playing a game. And so I wanted to make something like that.
Again, if you want to ask Rick a question about Super Slam Dunk Touchdown, you can over at live.vognetwork.com in our chat room over there. So I noticed you're talking a lot about local multiplayer, and I noticed when you came to the show, you brought like 4 separate controllers. You had everything. You were really stressing that this is a party game, right? So if I were to ask about, well, what about online? What's your thoughts on that? I mean, online just not in the cards for you? That's not what you want this to be?
Well, first off, there was 6 controllers. We do up to 6 players locally on Windows.
My bad. I forgot how to count.
If I wanted to take maybe, I don't know, 3 to 6 months and really try to make it online, I probably could do that. But that's not really the heart and soul of what this game is about. And it's really about yelling at your teammates and, having a good time together. So I think having people in front of the TV is a better experience for this title. That said, if I had, unlimited funding, I'd love to pay somebody to add an online component, but we're a very, very small studio, with a total employee count of 1. So
I was about to say, is it just you that's doing all this?
Well, I contract out the art, as money comes in, but yeah, it's just me.
Got it. Wow. That's still very impressive for such a small studio of 1, basically, to have created something like this. So props to you. This must be – how are you feeling this week with the big release and the whole kind of making that transition from early access to a full release? How are you feeling?
I have to – I'll be honest. I kind of feel like a college senior just sort of sliding the paper under the door at the 11:59. get it out there. I want to go lay down. It's been a long, long year and a half since I've been working on this, and I'm looking forward to the break.
What are some of the reactions you see when you see people playing your game at expos? Because again, you are bringing this you bring this game to cons the way it's meant to be played, and so you're able to get sometimes I can't get 5 people over to my house to play a video game. I mean, if I have liquor, maybe, but at a con, it's very easy to get that together. So you must see all sorts of great reactions. What do you kind of see from the people that play your game at cons?
Well, there's several stages. First, it's like confusion because they're not sure what it is they're looking at, and then their brain tries to tell them what they're looking at, but they still don't really believe it, so they have to come over, and then they see what it is and that it's real, and then they want to play, and then they find out it's 6 players, and there's a critical mass problem at these conventions. If I get 1 or 2 people playing, it's pretty easy to get 6, but if it's empty, it's a little harder.
For those that don't know, what is the object of the game? Because you might look at it and you see, okay, I've got this soccer goal and it's got a basketball hoop on it, and then there's like that touchdown tee. What is the object? Yeah, goalpost.
Just in plain simple terms, you're taking your sports players, a whole team of sports players, and you're trying to maneuver the ball or puck or whatever it is through one of the goal areas, which could be a lower net. It could be a basketball style hoop, or it could be the uprights, the football, American football style field goal posts. So there's different ways to score, and then all the different players are kind of playing their own way. So baseball players hitting pop flies, the hockey players hitting slap shots, the soccer players kicking, the American football players tossing spirals. And so you mix all that together and it becomes a crazy 3D physics team-based sports game.
Now, I noticed that it wasn't really just the sports players and the sports balls themselves that were all coming together, but as I was playing the game earlier today to prepare for this, and I noticed that there was a lot of just other, for lack of a better term, crazy shit that would happen while you're playing the game. Like, the marching band would just start running right through the middle of the game doing their thing. I think my derby girl got 3 shots in a row, so of course, as what happens in hockey when you get 3 shots in a row, hats start flying all over the arena, and there's just all this crazy stuff starts happening. Where did you come up with all these ideas, and what made you think like, oh, I want to get it crazier with all this stuff?
Well, it's just things that pop up in your brain when you think sports, and these are things. Hat trick, that's a thing. If you ask somebody who doesn't know anything about sports, they'll just name some terms, and so it's sort of just, the marching band shows up. Doesn't show up in the middle of the match, but it's more fun that way. So it's kind of just putting as much sports in as small a tight a space as we can and just seeing what happens.
Now, and am I crazy, or did I see a streaker? Because I swear to God, the other team all of a sudden had a player running around the back of the goalpost who was just naked. Like, is that a thing?
That's a thing. We just released an update. He used to kind of just drop from the ceiling, but now he's hiding in the crowd. So if you look in the crowd as you're playing and you see a shady guy with a trench coat on, watch out, because... awesome. Might jump into the arena and try to steal the ball.
That cracked me up because, I mean, and the art is done so tastefully that you're not going to see any, you know, anything that's going to make this game get an AO rating, right? But
fortunately, we're dealing with sub pixels there.
So, yeah, exactly, right? So you can't really see anything, but it's just kind of like, because I kind of did a double take. I'm like, first off, who is that guy? And second off, does he have no clothes on? What is he doing? But I didn't even realize that he had jumped in from the crowd just because there's so much other stuff going on. But that's...
Oh, that's new. That's new. So I'm posting updates. We've done our first post-release update. There's going to be a season mode expansion next year. So I'm continuously trying to improve the game and making it better for a hopeful eventual console release.
Oh, nice. What consoles are you looking at?
I'm under tight lips right now. Oh. I can't say much.
All right. Fair enough. You come back when you can tell us. So what else was I going to say? There are some modes in the game now. There's two modes in the game now. There's the challenge mode and kind of the quick play mode, right?
Can also battle the ending credits if you want to do that.
I somehow missed that. You can battle the credits?
Yes, and there's a shot practice mode too, which I encourage everybody to try that just to get the feel for the game before the AI starts beating you up. But yeah, you battle the credits. Do you remember Altered Beast on the Sega Genesis did that? You beat the game and then the credits would come down and they start knocking you out. So that sort of stuck with me and I was like, let's get our revenge. Let's beat up the credits.
So the
credits is made of balls and you can throw them at each other.
That kind of happens in Super Smash Brothers as well.
Okay.
The credit roll, but it's a little different, but I love that. And yeah, Dark Tetsuya making that same comparison in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Going to some other questions from our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. SSGO100 Matt says, so I see a lot of sources of inspiration in the game, like Blades of Steel, Double Dribble, Tecmo Super Bowl, Super Dodgeball, Nintendo World Cup, Hit the Ice, NHL 94, NBA Jam. Am I missing anything?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you've got Speedball was one. Is NES Ice Hockey in that list?
Nope. NES Ice Hockey was
there. Was one Pigskin. I forget the year. It was like 320 AD or something like that. But it was like a medieval pigskin game where you have pits that you can fall in and a bunch of guys like beating each other up. So that whole era, I guess they couldn't do a realistic sports game very well. So they said, oh, well, let's just make it fun. And that's kind of what this game's about.
But I kind of see, and I'm not, and I probably told you this when I was playing the game for the first time, I'm not really a sports ball kind of guy. Like I enjoy going to a hockey game and occasionally a basketball game, but I'm horrible at playing the real thing. And I don't get as into it as a lot of other people my age do. So, you know, when games were like NBA Jam or Tecmo Bowl, when it was very arcadey in the element of it, like that's when I loved sports games the most. And I'm assuming you must find the same thing to be similar or true as well, to have been inspired to make a game like this, right?
Absolutely. Those games were fun. Anyone could pick them up. So this game has three buttons and an analog stick, so anybody can pick this up. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot you can learn about the different players and everything, but at its heart, it's a very accessible experience, which I think it should be.
And you and I were having a conversation about how newer sports games, like, you know, the Maddens of the world and so forth, are oftentimes, I think you called them simulations. And I thought that was a really good kind of comparison. Does this game get anything from newer sports titles?
I'll be honest, the newest sports title that I'm able to play would be some iteration of Virtua Tennis, which is kind of it's similar. You had an analog stick and a few buttons. I tried to play a modern soccer game that there was a demo for on PlayStation, and you literally had to juggle the ball like with the stick. You couldn't just move the guy. You had to actually try to keep the ball from getting away from you, and I'm like, this is way too much.
You know what I'll tell you is one of the best sports games to come out in years and years, besides, of course, Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. I'll tell you, it's Rocket League.
Oh, yes. Yes. I have not had a chance to play that. I'm afraid it's going to suck me in.
Yeah.
but I have it.
I wouldn't doubt you're going to play it, and then all of a sudden a car is going to show up in Super Slam Dunk Touchdown somewhere, because I'll tell you. But that's kind of the same thing, where it's like a sports game. Well, it's not really a sport, but it kind of is. It's just fun and silly and easily accessible, because everybody knows how to drive a video game car. It's accelerate and brake. Mm-hmm. Very, very easy.
Brake.
Yeah, who uses the brake? Who uses that?
That's what the walls are for.
Let's see. Tiger Claw says, a sports game with very simple controls that doesn't require you to do complicated button combinations would be more fun to play. And I notice that is kind of part of your game, right? It's like two or three buttons tops, right?
Yeah, one of them's pass, so you're hardly using that unless your teammate has the ball or you want to send it over there. There's a shoot button. That's the main button. And then there's a turbo boost. So that's pretty much like NBA Jam in terms of number of buttons.
And then I noticed that one of the I guess the shoot button would also double as the fight button. And if you can get enough people in the fight, it'll turn into this like cartoon cloud that starts flying all over the arena, right?
Yeah, and that was actually a product of user feedback. So I used to do playtest parties early on to get local multiplayer feedback. And this the chaos of the game is a little too much for people. So that rowdy cloud, as I call it, is just sort of sucks people in. If they're getting too violent, let's put them in one place and they can mash their buttons and let the guy who's not in that fight try to shoot and win the game.
I've noticed that your game has gone through like some changes like with graphics too, because I know I saw some screenshots and I think some material you'd done for PAX, and like the slam dunk sequence looked very different than it does now. Like before it was kind of, I don't want to say it was plain, but it was a little plainer, but now it looks like you got the full audience. Like it looks like that double dribble thing we all remember from when we were kids, which had to be an influence, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, that was I definitely wanted to do that, but I wanted to make it interactive. And the old art, which is, you know, been kind of the bane of my existence this year, has been slowly getting replaced. And that the art that you might be referring to, the early art, I actually drew that over Christmas, right after my artist decided to pursue other projects.
Ah.
So that was been programmer art that has been in the game for a long time, and I'm so happy to have replaced that with the really nice looking, as you said, inspired by double dribble dunk sequences.
How many changes did your game go through in development?
It went through a lot of evolutions. If you go back and look at the very early videos, you can tell it's just a super primitive version of what it is now. The main things were with player feedback and just letting people know what was going on. So there's an aiming cursor. You can tell which direction you're pointing while you're aiming, which is helpful. There's a pass cursor that shows up when you're being passed to. So little things like that that just kind of clue people in. The player selection screen went through about 3-4 different durations to get where it is now.
Now, this game was on Early Access for a little while. About how long were you on Early Access until the release this week?
It was about 3 months, I think.
And did you get like feedback through that process as well? How did that work?
That was great, because it was like pulling teeth sometimes after my same friends had played the game, you know, and they're like, okay, let's play a different game. We've been playing this all summer. But when, you know, it goes into Early Access, suddenly all these people are playing and they're on the Steam forums, and it's like, okay, cool. Now I've got feedback from fresh players. They're seeing it for fresh eyes. I'm getting, you know, good reactions, honest reactions. And you kind of have to, as a developer, take everything everybody says very seriously. And because if there's a problem, if they're not playing the game what you think is correctly, then you're not communicating it correctly to them. So It's been very useful. So thanks to everybody on the Steam forums. And please do jump on there if you've got any feedback.
You know, and I bet a lot of us sometimes take that for granted, is that, you know, especially if we're developing, like, and not that everybody listening to this show necessarily develops full on games, but something like Super Mario Maker, I think, has really opened it up so that some people can kind of experience what that process is like a little bit. And I know I'm fascinated when I watch people play a level that I made in Mario Maker on like YouTube or Twitch or something, and it's like, that is not how I intended people to get past that part of the game, or that is not how you're supposed to do that part, but they did it. And that's got to be like just even exponentially the case when you're making a full-fledged game as opposed to like a level in Mario.
Well, that's the joy of it, because you see things for the first time because somebody will be playing it in a way that you've never played it before. And sometimes that leads to bugs, but other times it leads to just really hilarious stuff. One of the things that happened during a convention, there was a fight and the ball got knocked, just because of the 3D physics, so high that it went off the screen for like a good 3 or 4 seconds. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. That's new. So I actually put a ceiling on the game now. And if it goes up that high, you can actually knock a light loose. It'll fall down and land on the field. So it's just by observing how people play the game, we can add to it and make it more fun.
Awesome. Let me get to one more question here from our chat room. SJ100 Matt asking, you were able to get this done in a year and a half, which is an impressive feat considering how polished the game looks. How much of your time was taken up with development versus work versus real life stuff? Did you even sleep?
I did sleep, but that's about all I did. I actually quit my job in May of 2014 to work on this game, and have been working nonstop ever since then. And I mentioned the crisis over Christmas last year. That crisis didn't stop until launch. So it's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of fun. It's been up and down in all directions.
Well, congratulations on the launch of the game. And again, you know, radio can only go so far as to what this game really looks like. I do encourage you guys to go check it out on the Steam store, Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. Rick, any other websites or social media for our listeners to see more about this game?
Sure. You can check out our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter, Tipping Goat. And we also have a webpage at tippinggoat.com. I'm also very active on the Steam forums, and there is a subreddit at SSD Touchdown. So whatever your network of choice.
Very cool. And I'm hoping to get a YouTube done of some play this week. I wanted to do that today, and then all the computer stuff started happening here in studio. So I'm going to try to get that on my YouTube channel a little later this week. So that'll be something as well. And yeah, I do definitely encourage people to at least give the game a look. And I think it's going to kind of get you right in that feel where Blades of Steel and Double Dribble and NBA Jam and those games back when you know, sports games were arcadey and fun. I think it's going to get you in that same spot. So congrats to you, Rick.
Thank you.
All right, best of luck with the game. Thanks for being on OLR tonight.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, that was Rick with Tipping Goat Games and the game there, Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. Dark Soccer, I know you got to play that as well at the con, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I had a good time.
Yeah.
I had a really good time.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know why I just kept blanking on the name over and over, but it's still fairly...
Well, it is kind of all these different sports terms all together.
The goal is to sports harder than the other people.
I think that it should be, like, it seems like it could be set up kind of very similar to, like, iDarb, where they have, you know, maybe even if he doesn't do, like, internet play over the internet, you know, like multiplayer, he can do maybe some sort of Twitch support or something like that with
yeah.
all the iDarb crap where he can put keywords in and silly shit happens.
Oh yeah, maybe some of that audience stuff that like the streakers and all that stuff. That might be kind of fun. Like,
or
maybe some of that stuff.
Or throw some power ups like t-shirt cannons or something like that. Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
Or maybe, and I don't know how difficult this is. I mean, we spout them off like they're no problem at all, but we have to remember he's only a team of one. But I forgot to ask him about this, but there's some really silly advertisements that you see like in the background.
Try food.
Yeah, try food. Was one of them, and I was like, I think I will try eating at some point. Like, there's just some silly stuff
I
there.
I should do that.
Fun. Yeah. I should try food someday. I might be good. All right. Well, again, best of luck to him, and it was a lot of fun to play, and I hope he's able to get the money back for the time invested, and he can look at making whatever game he wants to do next. Maybe some more retro-inspired stuff there. So, again, that's Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. Look at that. Dungeon Buster in chat giving a link there to our listeners if they want to check that out on the Steam store. I believe it's $14.99 is how much that is. All right. We're going to get into news and talk about what else has been going on in the video game world this week. But I do want to take a chance to go around and ask, what types of video games have you been playing this week? We always like to talk about how was your gaming week. So outside of the con, Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
It was very TurboGrafx oriented, with some Adventure Island, Monster Boy, Bonk. We had Bonk. We had Magical Chase. A lot of Magical Chase. Some Proteus Da. Twinbee. I didn't play any Dragon Age. And I played some Animal Crossing, the Happy Home Designer.
That was, for the most part, quite the retro-tastic week. What brought that on? Just sometimes
getting our Turbo Everdrive.
That works. All right. I have a feeling that will come back to us a little later when we get into the classic game of the week. We'll see. Meanwhile, let's go over to Loki. How was your gaming week?
Well, I played quite a bit, actually. I played lots of Fallout 4, so I'm like, gosh, I don't even know how many hours into the game. I think it's counting it in days now. So I'm like at least 2 days in. Probably, I say maybe like 60 hours or so. I don't remember yet. And then, so I'm pretty far. I'm still really enjoying that. And it's kind of fun just to wander around. I'm enjoying it like Skyrim and cheating in it like Skyrim. So exploiting every possible console glitch hack I could possibly do. And I'm enjoying that while I can. I do want to play through it again, actually, once I'm done with this one. There's one, someone came up with the idea of doing a factionless one. So instead of joining one of the factions, you just fucking kill everybody and be an asshole to everybody. I'm like, yes, I will do that. That is what I want to do next time. So that's what I'm going to do. Just Cause 3, I've tried playing that a little bit, but it's a fucking mess. And that's really disappointing because I really want to play that game, but I cannot handle trying to play one of the challenges to unlock stuff in the game and having a 3-minute load time in between every time I retry that. Fuck that. I am not playing that game until that's fixed. I also played Minecraft on the Wii U. Because my son wanted Minecraft on the Wii U because he wanted to play on the screen. And so I did that and I downloaded it and played with the controller. I fucking hate the Wii U controller with that game. It's just the way the button placement and stuff, it's very awkward. I don't like how the buttons are below the analog stick. It's just PlayStation, Xbox controls work a lot better for me. But that is just frustrating. I don't even want to play it.
And the text
is so small on that screen. It's you would think that, like, hey, we have this on the second screen. Maybe we should make the menus and, you know, UI fucking readable. Nope. Let's make it fucking just shrink it down, make it super microscopic so you can't fucking read anything.
I'm really disappointed at what a lazy port cash in Minecraft Wii U is. I mean, for all the potential that's there with the touchscreen, I really feel like this is a whole. Well, it's either A, well, we got to shut the Nintendo fans up, or B, well, we got to make money from the Nintendo fans by just, you know, copy pasting. You know, I really wish they had done more with what the Wii U was intended for.
I mean, shit, they're making tons of money for me. I bought it on pretty much every console, so I don't know why. But yeah, my son wanted to play it. He enjoys it. That's fine. But I find the controls frustrating, and I'll play it on any other system. I just don't want to play it on that one, especially since it's missing features that are on the other systems. No, no thanks. But I bought it, so I guess you win. and then I bought Earth Defense Force 4.1. I wasn't technically buy that, but Eric wanted to play, and then he bowed out. So I spent the money on it for no reason. But
sucker, he's in chat right now. Maybe you guys can.
But it's fine. Well, I'm sure we'll hook up another day, but I played through it a little bit, and it's really hard. I tried, like, I'm going to bump it up the hard mode, and it's like, this is really frustrating. And it's frustrating in the fact that, like, they've changed how some of the ants and stuff attack you, so now they can, like, shake you around, and you're supposed to be able to shoot them while they're doing that. And it's fucking annoying. It's just, like, I don't know. It's kind of cheap, I guess, in that sense, but whatever. That's the type of game it is. It's supposed to be frustratingly hard, and yeah. So I'll probably play more of that after getting done with Fallout. Because, like, I was like, oh, I could play more Earth Defense Force, or I could play more Fallout. So I'm going to play more Fallout. And then, of course, I played tons of Ingress. I drove up to fucking Placerville and like, rescue today to make a field from there to Auburn for no fucking reason. Other than I was like, oh, maybe I'll get some more points to
uniques. You got uniques.
I had, like, two, because I didn't really actually, you know, hack anything because I was under, like, a time constraint.
I need to get your schedule so we can go out sometime together, because you can do so much more in that game when you even have just one other person. You can do
better stuff.
I've been
looking to, like, play some, but, like, my schedule is going to change after the first of the year, so yeah. Then I'm not going to have the weekdays anymore, because they used to have Thursdays to play, and now, nope, that's not going to happen. So I may have, no, I'm not going to, it depends on what my schedule is, you know, where I'm trying to shift, trade shifts, and I may not have any time in the morning anymore.
Oh boy! All right,
it'll be like weekends maybe, and or if I take a day off, and I don't know.
Well, real life is more important than silly portal bandits, so it's fine.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to do any more of the fielding stuff. Like a few weeks ago, I went to Auburn because I meant to, like, field that day, and then, like, I drove like 2 hours round trip to do that, and by the time I got back here to actually link it up, someone had fucking, on our own side, had fucking thrown some blocking links. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
But they didn't know. They didn't know, and now
well,
you...
Well, no, they... Yeah. It's because I couldn't text them, because I'm driving on a fucking road that's twisty as fuck, and, like, in the rain, with no cell coverage. Like, well, he didn't say anything. I'm like, yeah, because I'm fucking driving. I can't text on the phone while I'm driving to tell you, and with no cell signal, so whatever, it's fine. I wasn't mad, and it was just, like, it's just something that happens. Well,
it's more like your luck. Kind of like,
yeah, my luck. I wasted all this time. Yeah. You know, drove all the way back here. And it's like, oh, fuck. I can't do anything. Well, that was that. So,
all right. I can't wait. You guys, I really feel like, because of this Ingress thing, I feel like all Loki is going to play Pokemon Go.
I'll try. So, anyways, I've been doing Christmas shopping. So, I have your gifts.
Oh, my gosh.
you guys can choose or fight over which one. And I don't know if you have these yet, so I can never know because you buy all these figures and stuff. So.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, so I got both the Sam Flynn and the Korra Disney Infinity figures. I didn't know. They look pretty awesome, and I've been buying Disney Infinity stuff because I'm buying my son the game, Disney Infinity 2.0. So you guys can decide which one you want.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm fine. Whatever you want, whichever one you want to take.
I think I'd really like Korra.
You want Korra? That's fine. Right. I'll take Flynn.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yay. Thank you, Loki. Woohoo. I'm going to take that out of the box.
I was like looking at Amiibos. I'm like, does he have that one? I'm like, yes. Probably. Yes,
I have them all. It's sick. You know what, though, guys? I don't know if I should talk about this on air. I might get in trouble, but we'll see. Shane told me he's going to stop collecting Amiibo. I think he finally got broke. Like, the Amiibo thing kind of broke him. Because I ordered the Shovel Knight Amiibo on Best Buy this week. And I was like, Shane, you didn't tell me that it was up for sale. I heard about it from somebody else. And he's like, eh. And I was like, you going to go get it? He's not feeling the Amiibo thing anymore. And I'm like, you okay, buddy?
A disturbing amount of Disney Infinity figures this week. But to be fair,
they were on clearance.
Last, and they're used. So, like, I bought the game, which was on clearance, Disney, because it's last year's game. And then I bought the figures because they're on sale this week. And even, like, I bought an Olaf for my other son, you know, and that's Disney 3.0. You can't actually use it in the game, but I'm going to download 3.0 so that they can play. But the other figures were like fucking like $5 new, or they had, you know, GameStop had like buy two used and get three free. I'm like, I cleared out like their whole section just of all. They're hard to get anymore. I mean, so I'm like, well, fuck, if I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy the characters while I can still get them. And fucking trying to find that Spider-Man set, just forget it. It's impossible to find after like a year.
All right. Looking at our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. I think that lit up the chat room more than anything else. Me saying the Shane is out of the Amiibo thing. ActF saying, what? SG100 Matt, I don't believe it. The what meme saying, did Shane finally accept a job for Sony PR? That I would believe over everything else. And SG100 Matt says, are you sure he was tired? Wasn't tired and just needed a nap? That could also be true. I don't know. Okay. So my gaming week, I played a whole lot this past week, not just on Steam. Obviously, I played some Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. I played another game, and I want to have these guys on the show when their game's a little closer to full release. The game's called Black Ice, and it was kind of like Tron meets Diablo. And I was like, I am into both of those things. Tell me more about your game. And I like that one a lot. So I was playing that on Steam. And actually, you know who's been playing that even more than me is Alan. Alan's really into that. So we'll talk about that game a little later on. I'm hoping to have them on the show. Then I got home and I played some other stuff. I want to talk quickly about a game I talked about 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago on the show, I talked about Xenoblade Chronicles X. And although I don't think I was too negative on the game, I did give some feedback that was a little bit like, this really bothers me. And I did spend some more time with the game to see if I could get over some of that stuff. And for the most part, yeah, I think I did get over like a little bit of a hump that I think kind of happens in the story kind of between chapter 3 and 4. And I was able to progress a little more in the story, and I feel a little better about where I'm headed in the game now. It still doesn't completely change the fact that I do think there's a big disconnect between the manual is there, so you have to read the manual on the Wii U gamepad, but the game has some tutorials in it, but if you're not able to read the manual as well, like, I don't know, there's some kind of disconnect there in how the game really paces itself in the beginning, and that still kind of bothers me, and I think will turn some people off. But if you can stick with it and get over that hurdle, I mean, the game is really good looking. There's a lot of like great music in the game. The battle system is fun, even if people never shut up, they keep yelling at each other. But that's kind of I kind of like that ambience. It's a little different than other RPG games I played. So I am enjoying myself with Xenoblade Chronicles X, and I thought that was an important little follow-up point. So even though I do think the game has its flaws, and I know there's going to be Nintendo defenders and Xenoblade defenders that are going to say I'm wrong, and that's fine. But I really do think that there's some roadblocks in that game that prevent it from being a great game. Because at the end of the day, I still think a lot of the voice acting and the scripting is very It's a little generic, little blah. I hear the story gets better and better, but I'm not going to be totally convinced. I don't think that it was written for a reading game and it's being acted and not very well. But outside of that, I mean, there what RPG games on the Wii U are there? There's not a lot of games. There's a few, but not a lot. And Xenoblade is really good. And if you are a Wii U owner, I think it is worth having if you're into JRPGs at all. Just be warned, you got to read through that manual, and you might hit these parts where you're like, am I even on the right fucking path? If you feel like that, just try something else, and you'll get there. So, also on the Wii U this week, I played a game that was released on the eShop that I'm kind of surprised I didn't play sooner when the day it came out, but it's called Fast Racing Neo. And this is the game that a lot of people are saying, well, this is what happens when Nintendo doesn't put out F-Zero, is that an indie studio made their own version of F-Zero. And so I checked out the game, and I got to say, it's pretty sweet. It's more Wipeout than F-Zero to me.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me, more Wipeout.
But that's not a bad thing at all. It's fast, and it's racing. So, in fact, it's so fast that when I was playing, and it's really smooth. Like, it does run at that 60 frames a second. I did notice when I was going really fast on some complex tracks that the track kind of popped in the distance. You kind of see the pop in. But, I mean, like, that was extremely infrequent, all things considered. But I think that's how they made it happen at 60 frames a second. But I got to say, I mean, it was so fast and so smooth that even I was getting a little bit of that, whoa, I got to stop. I'm almost getting a little queasy playing this on my big TV. Like, it's almost a bit much. But they kind of put an interesting twist on the formula where you have to, like, there's almost like an Ikaruga thing where you have to flip the color of your engine to match the color of the boosters if you want to boost. There's orange boosts and blue boosts, and you have to flip the colors back and forth to match the boost in order to actually go faster. And I thought that kind of put a neat little spin on it. So I think the music's good. I think the tracks are pretty varied for an indie game. At least the beginning ones I've played are pretty well designed. However, it's pretty difficult. It's not exactly like the first time I played, the lowest difficulty is not a gimme. Like, you play Mario Kart on 50cc, you're going to win. No problem, right? Unless you're maybe like a kid or like, you know, a gamer who really doesn't play very often. Like, you're going to win 50cc Mario Kart. You're not going to win Fast Racing Neo your first time through. If you do, props to you. You're really good. But that's okay. I'm okay with the game. I'm not like saying, oh, it's too hard. It just took me by surprise a little bit. So I'm going to warn y'all out there. It is a more difficult game. But the second time I played through, I did place first in the circuit and I was able to move on. So I'm totally okay with a game kind of requiring a little bit of effort for progression. The only thing that kind of bothers me about the game, I don't like the default controls. Is that, like, you know, they do the little ZL and ZR are kind of like the super left turn, like they drift your car left and right like it did in F-Zero. But then the R button is the boost. And the L button flips between the orange and blue, but you can also use X to do that. And it's like my fingers on the L and Rs are never hitting the right button. And so suddenly I'll boost when I think I'm going to be drifting to the right, or worse yet, I'll drift to the right when I think I'm going to boost. And like, I'm having a hard time kind of like training my fingers to do that. And I didn't see a way to remap those buttons at all. I could have missed it, but I really wish it would let me remap some of that to a configuration that works for me. I did notice the menu system in the game is really basic. A lot of the shell around the game itself is really basic. But that's okay. I mean, you know, the important part is it a fast racing game? And yes, it is. But I just, you know, it doesn't have that polish you'd expect out of an F-Zero game, right? Like, F-Zero GX was extremely polished from start to finish. And most Nintendo games are, right? This one's a little rough in the edges, but when you're actually racing, it's a lot of fun. And I'll give it that. So, looking at our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, Dark Tetsuya says, I saw some video of Fast Racing Neo. Yeah, I did get sort of a Wipeout vibe from it, but it still looked blazing fast and definitely seems to have a little bit of an F-Zero vibe to it, too. There's still definitely an F-Zero vibe to it. Like, I swear to God, one of the opponent's names, it's not Captain Falcon, but it's like Captain Calkin or something. Like, it's like really similar. It's kind of surprising.
Like, so. General Hawk. Wait, that's actually, I think, G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm. So
anyway,
and I got to give this important update. Shane actually joined the chat room and said, "What terrible lie was said?" And so the chatters basically filled him in on what I'd been saying. And Shane said, "Yeah, it's hell trying to hunt for both Amiibo and Power Rangers toys. So I had to pick one." So, but what about my needs? What about the Amiibo I need? See, Shane was always like, he was keeping me in the loop on the
Shane
Amiibo.
Shane was my dealer.
I know Shane was my dealer. And now he's just, you can't just quit. All right. So anyway, there you go. That was pretty much my gaming week. I think that's all I really have to say for my gaming week was those games. Housekeeping, and then we'll get into news tonight. Just for housekeeping real quick, I know we've missed a lot of shows recently. The good news is no more missed shows unless something really bad happens. We will be here weekly at least through the end of February, but I will be gone for a Sunday in the end of February. Maybe we can tape in advance that week because I'll only be gone like Thursday, Friday. So maybe we can tape on a Wednesday or something. This is way out in February, so we don't have to worry about it now.
I'm going to Disneyland next month.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Lucky.
I told you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're going to the farewell before they bulldoze.
Bucket of meat.
Yeah, before they bulldoze a lot of the Frontier stuff for Star Wars Land.
And I wouldn't have even known about it, about that actually being the weekend if not for Victoria. So I'm like, I'll be there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Because I deserve it.
You do deserve it. I'm kind of jealous you're going to Disneyland, but that's okay because a month later, I won't be here at the end of February, so we won't be live at the end of February. This is a ways off. I'm going to MAGFest. I booked my flight. I know I've talked about it on the show for some time, but I am officially 100% going. I booked my flight. I'm staying with some podcasting buddies and going to be spending Thursday through like Monday out in the D.C. area. It's not technically in D.C., but it's the D.C. area. I'm flying into the Reagan
Airport.
You'll
have a good time.
I am very excited about it because I had a good time at Rockage out here on the West Coast. And Gabe, you know, who is from the SAC IGDA, he works with MAGFest because he's from Jersey. So I've got to talk to him and see what his plans are. And yeah, it's going to be my first MAGFest, and I'm really excited about it. So I hope to see you guys there. VOG, OLR, we're not doing anything in official capacity. I kind of signed up too late. I forgot the panel submissions were going to close. So I kind of forgot to get on that bandwagon. So we're not really doing anything in an official capacity, but I will be there. And if you're there, we'll plan an unofficial meetup somewhere. Meet me by the Tron machine at 3 p.m. or something. We'll figure something out. We'll tweet on our Twitter account at OLR. So... all right. That's all I can think of for housekeeping. Otherwise, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio, and Google, google.com/+Orange Lounge Radio. Let's get into what happened this week in gaming news, starting with Loki. There was a lot for late December, can I just say? There was a lot of news this week.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So let's get to it.
So apparently, Hideo Kojima came off of his vacation. And wasted no time to making the announcement that Kojima Productions is going to be coming back, and they're going to be partnering with Sony for the first title. So that's pretty amazing, actually. Like literally right after signing the deal for that, and it's going to be like a new franchise or a new IP. It's not going to be based off of Metal Gear or Silent Hill, but should be something great. And apparently, as part of that, I think Sony is going to be fronting some money to help kind of kickstart that company. So that's kind of cool. Now that they've gone indie, though, of course, you know what's going to happen to Metal Gear? Well, apparently, Konami is looking for staff for a new Metal Gear game. Now, there's been this posting, I guess, that they have, you know, seeking, you know, people experienced that want to sign up to make a new game. Although it could be, I think this was left over, may have been from Phantom Pains, but I mean, it's still up, and so they're still seeking staff for a new Metal Gear title, so I don't know.
You have to wonder if they aren't just going to take the Metal Gear IP and do something kind of different with it, like a pachinko machine. No, maybe experimenting with the online stuff, or I don't know, any of that.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm surprised if they are actually still considering, you know, doing console games for this. I mean, after all the bridges that they burned, I'm just surprised that they're like, hey, we're going to come back. Like, anyone's going to give a shit.
They didn't just burn the bridges. They detonated them.
Like, is anyone going to give a shit that they came back? It's like, you know. Unless there's something really cool to show, I mean, I just think no one's going
to
give a shit.
Konami's going to have to work real hard to get me to give a shit about whatever's in store for Metal Gear. So that being said, let's talk about Kojima and the Sony thing. So what do y'all think? I mean,
I think it's exciting. Can't wait to see what he's got.
It's a very logical pairing, especially after the very good reception of PT. But can we talk about how bad I want PT to be the thing that he's working on with Sony?
It could be. Maybe he's going to work on something that's not Silent Hills, but is Silent Hills.
But like a scary, like, and yeah, I realize like he can't even really use PT because technically Konami paid for that development. So any of the characters, any of the stuff he did,
there wasn't really anything in it. I mean,
But I don't know. So he can't he can't actually make PT, but he can make something that's inspired-ish. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I just want Kojima to make a scary game, and I kind of want Guillermo del Toro to be involved as well. So, I mean, yes, he can't make Silent Hills. Duh, that's done. But I would be very interested in whatever it is.
Make a new franchise.
A new franchise. I don't know.
Silent Hill hasn't really been with Silent Hill for a long time anyway, so I'm kind of okay with that being done. And with a new franchise, we'll love it just as much.
Interesting theory from our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDeft says, I'm calling it, Kojima will make a PlayStation VR game. Could that be what they are going to put him on? Make it, oh God, can you imagine a scary game in VR? I might shit my pants for real. Good Lord. I don't know. Dart Sakura, what do you think of all this?
I hope not. I mean, honestly, I hate speculating on stuff like that because, first of all, we knew he was going to be getting right back into thing after, you know, his contract date was up. Because I knew it wasn't a vacation. It was a separation, a complete separation.
Mm-hmm.
And having him pairing up with Sony, like, right away.
Oh, so Sony took him out on a nice date. Sony played some romance. Sony played some Adele to some candlelit music and steak, and Sony sexed him somehow.
This wasn't a love hotel.
This was
a full-on host date.
It was fucking like, hey,
this
hey,
was
listen.
Kojima breaking up and going right onto the hookup app to find the next thing.
And
Sony's like, me.
Listen, I know your pimp was treating you bad before, but come on. I'll buy you nice things. You know, you can make whatever you want. Yeah, freedom.
Alan Alchemy in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Sony and Kojima's date was like that Instagram series, He Got Money. You ever seen that? It's funny.
At any rate, the only thing I can expect is great things.
Yeah.
So when's Konami going to announce that he's actually left the company? Is he still going to be on vacation? Is it going to be a Weekend at Bernie's situation where it's like, no, he's still working. See, look at all the work he's doing. He's right there.
I kind of think when your ex-husband announces they just got married, that kind of insinuates that there was a divorce that happened at some point. I don't think Konami needs to make a statement. I think at this point for Konami to make a statement is just for the internet's amusement, which Konami is probably not amused that the rest of us are amused, but they really only have themselves to blame at how they've conducted themselves. Like I said, Konami is a PR nightmare right now. I would hate to be in their PR department, and none of them had anything to do with it, and Lord knows they're probably yelling. What needs to happen at Konami, the CEO needs to be dethroned. This is such a fucking mess at this point. Like, the CEO needs to be switched, and that's the only way. Like, this is like when Microsoft needed to lose their CEO. Honestly, for everything that Microsoft went through last year or 2 years ago, it's nothing compared to what Konami's going through. And Don Matrick lost his job over it. I mean, they'll say it was parted on mutual terms, but he lost his job over it. Anyway. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Alan Alchemy, Sony. What do you want to watch? I got Hulu, Netflix, HBO Go, Amazon Prime, Kojima. LOL, whose password you have? Sony. I pay for it all. Kojima. He got money. SSGO100 Matt says, we'll see if people flip off Konami with their wallet when the new Metal Gear Solid game comes out. I certainly hope they do. Well, you know, how would you feel? Now, I'm going to be like the most ultimate tinfoil hat right now, but just humor me for a minute here. Let's say I get my wish and the management is shaken up severely at Konami, okay? Severe management shakeup. and Konami decides to bring in an outside person that's worked on another big game series to do Metal Gear. Would you have faith at that point? Would you be willing to forgive Konami if Konami basically fired the people that needed to be fired and put in some fresh blood from other places? Would you give Metal Gear Solid a chance at that point?
No, because they aren't bringing out a new Dance Dance Revolution game. So, okay.
Come on.
So I just don't care.
What meme says those people working on new Metal Gear had nothing to do with the nasty split? Don't punish them. Shane in our chat says, how can Konami fire itself? But this stuff happens all the time. Shareholders revolt and demand to the board that
it
changes.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's just see how their pachinko business works. I hope it's as good as they think it is. That's all I'm saying. Because it's just like betting everything on like mobile. I really hope that you don't think that you're going to have the next Angry Birds. Because I'm sorry, whatever game you put out in there is probably not going to be that big.
But they might have Metal Gear Tap Puzzle Surprise thing. I don't know. Who knows?
It'll be terrible.
Chibi Metal Gear, where you drag Solid Snake in a cardboard box through mazes of whimsical obstacles.
It's Metal Gear Solid Racing!
It's just Snake in a cardboard box.
Exactly. It's like a cardboard box derby car.
It's like that Boy Scouts event where people build their little cars.
Soapbox derby.
That's it. Metal Gear Solid Soapbox Derby. SSGO100 Matt, I'll leave it on this. SSGO100 Matt in chat says, I want them to come out on stage, bow their heads, and say, hey, we were dicks, sorry, but we'll change. Well, I don't know about that.
Still won't care.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, let's move on, though, to some other news that happened this past week, including your Xbox One got enriched with more backwards compatibility. Microsoft making good on their word to add more backwards compatibility each month for the second month in a row. So hopefully this trend will continue into January and February. But some new games available on the Xbox One are Xbox 360 titles like Braid, Deus Ex Human Revolution, Fable 3, Halo Reach, Hydro Thunder, that's, I think, a favorite of Darksiders, Ms. Pac-Man, Peggle, Portal Still Alive, that was the standalone Portal thing on 360, Splunky, Splosion Man, and Doritos Crash Course, for those of you that were fans of Doritos and their saturation of the gaming market. But yeah, all those games are available now on the Xbox One, so that's pretty cool.
By the way, Hydro Thunder is really Dan's thing.
Oh, I thought you were into that, too.
I mean, I was for a hot minute, but Dan was like, he'll still, like, when he finds a Hydro Thunder machine, he'll be like, Tidal Blade! Damn the torpedoes!
What was the game that was, like, the spiritual successor?
H2 Overdrive.
That's it, H2 Overdrive.
He liked that one,
too. I think it was fun, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so, yeah, turn on your Xbox One and check your games library, because you never know what you might have bought on 360. I think that Doritos game was free, so I think a lot of people have that. But, yeah, I logged in. I was like, oh, hey, I've got, like, 5 new games available. I didn't even realize I bought all this shit. I knew it would pay off someday.
That's me looking at my Steam library.
Right? Anyhow.
Here's a little bit of interesting speculation is that there's been this ongoing question, is Rare Replay coming to Wii U? We finally have an answer. At least Microsoft hasn't said like a definite no. They just said that they hadn't had any information. But Rare spoke up and said it is exclusive to Xbox One. We have the answer. Now people can shut up.
That is, I mean, I don't know. It seems a little bit obvious to me that that would be the case, that it's exclusive to Xbox. But maybe people were hoping that a Nintendo release on Wii U would then maybe sub out some of the 360 titles for stuff like Donkey Kong Country. I'm assuming that was the fan wank that started all that.
They'd like to think so. But, I mean, a good number, though, of those games were on Nintendo consoles before.
That's some of the coolest stuff in the pack, like playing Cobra Triangle again. It was kind of, it was half like, this is awesome, and half, actually, it's not that awesome. It was just more awesome when I was a kid.
Yeah, but now it's like, sorry, Nintendo players who want to recapture those nostalgia, time to bust out your carts and blow out some dust.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you're going to get it on a Nintendo system.
Yeah, but I understand Microsoft kind of wanting to keep those Xbox One exclusives where they can. But at the same time,
again, their pants.
Microsoft working with Nintendo products, not unheard of. I mean, obviously Minecraft this week, right? That's a Microsoft thing now. And then Viva Pinata was on the 3DS. So Microsoft will do it if, you know,
Microsoft will play nice with the other team.
Sure.
I mean, we've got Office on Mac. I mean, why not?
Yeah. I mean, the question is, can they make money?
Yes. And that's all that matters is the money.
He got money.
Capitalistic paradise here, huh?
There's Brad in our chat room. MS got money.
Oh, my ticket's getting all wrinkled.
What?
You have my ticket.
Oh, your movie ticket?
Yes.
Are you one of those people who saves movie tickets?
I have movie tickets for years. When I moved out here, I had a bundle of movie tickets from like 1989.
I don't.
And I moved out here in 98.
Wow. No, I don't save movie tickets like
I do
that.
Because wow. Memories. And they go like, ha, I sat through that.
I knew a person that saved, tangent time, but sorry about it. I knew a person that saved every ticket from when they saw the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's
and
cool.
They had like a binder of like 150 tickets from just week after week after week of seeing Rocky Horror.
That's cool.
Yeah, I did think that was kind of cool, but I was like, dang, like
it's gonna go in my.
So you got a binder full of printed paper, but memories.
Well, binder full of women.
Yes, binders full of women.
Binder full of transsexual Transylvanians.
Who knew that that 4-year-old joke would work well on the show tonight? All right. Let's travel around the world and check our binders full of release
dates. How about
dates.
Binders full of sluts and assholes?
I don't think you're going to find those in the release dates. In fact, I think those binders are going to be pretty empty this week leading into Christmas. But let's ask, are there any releases coming out in the U.S. this week, Loki?
Yeah, there's a Tales of Legend game that's coming out on PlayStation 3 and the Vita.
And that's it?
Yeah. I mean, it's the week of Christmas, so yeah. And that's it. You get only one Exceed RPG this week, and that's it.
If your game's not out by now, it's not for the holiday season, I guess. On the PlayStation 4 in Japan this week. Now, you know, Christmas is a little different in Japan. You can get a cake, but it's not really quite the same thing it is here.
I want a Christmas cake. I just want cake.
You know, really. We usually try to find like the restaurant on Christmas. We'll do like our little.
Yeah, we haven't decided what to do this year.
We'll have to figure that out, but maybe we should have cake.
But you know, I know what the crappy thing is?
What?
I have to work the next day, so I can't stay out late.
Ah.
So
we have to get creative because we are doing our thing with Alan's family, so I don't know.
Why don't we do this? How about Sunday before the show instead?
Maybe.
We'll do Gay Jumas. On Sunday.
Will there be cake?
We can have cake.
All right. It better not be a lie.
And places will be open.
That's true.
So we can just put it off.
We could do cheesecake.
Last year we got cheated out of our holiday.
You know I love cheesecake.
Why don't we do Cheesecake Factory?
I even will play Five Nights at Freddy's for cheesecake.
Let's do Cheesecake Factory for Gay Jumas.
All right. That works.
Okay.
All right. What meme in chat says there were some digital releases this week. Just curious, why does NoLR announce digital releases? That's a good question.
It's too hard to keep track of all those.
We sometimes will pick that up too in the rapid fire news. We try to sort of, I think for some reason Dark Sakura's has the digital mixed in when she does the UK, but otherwise Loki and I look at retail stuff, so it's a little tricky sometimes.
Hard to like remember everything that's coming out anyway.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and just say I basically use Eurogamer as my source, and they mix in the UK stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, until someone can find me a better UK release thing, because game hasn't been super reliable.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, let's go to Japan and check out some releases over in Japan. On the PlayStation 4, Assault Suit Lanos is out this week on December the 23rd. God Eater Offshot Twin Pack Volume 3 is also coming out on the PlayStation 4 this week. Going to the PlayStation 3, TV Anime Idolmaster Cinderella G4U Pack Volume 7. Your guess is as good as mine as to what the fuck that is. It's an Idolmaster expansion pack of some sort. This is definitely the week to put something like that out. Volume 7, if you can believe it. Good Lord. On the Wii U this week, there is a new game, Geni Ibun Roku, pound F-E, is out this week. And I think that's actually, the emphasis is on F-E in the title. So I think this must be based on some, oh, is it Fire Emblem? Is it this Fire Emblem crossover game? That must be what this is. I think this is the Fire Emblem crossover game that they've been waiting for is finally out on the Wii U this week.
You know, Rob.
Why didn't they just call it Fire Emblem? Then I know what it is.
You know what, Rob?
Huh?
It could be that given this is so modern, that could be hashtag FE.
It could be. Yeah, maybe that's what it looks like at first is hashtag FE. But I'm like, things don't always
unless they like really like iron.
Yeah.
You know, because FE, Ferris, iron.
Well, I'm sure some people will be importing that one on the Wii U because I know Fire Emblem has their fans. Going to the PlayStation Vita, Getsui no Kusaro, Sakuran Paranoia comes out this week, as well as Mobile Suit Gundam, Extreme vs. Force, and Storm Lover V comes out on the Vita in Japan this week because Vita in Japan is still a thing. And on the Nintendo 3DS this week, I think this is kind of awesome, Sega 3D Fukoku Archives 1 and 2 Double Pack. This is a collection of all those Sega 3D games they've released, at least in Japan. Get this, Power Drift, Space Harrier, Sonic, Fantasy Zone, Outrun, Fantasy Zone 2, Bare Knuckle, Galaxy Force 2, Shinobi, Echo the Dolphin, Thunderblade. I mean, that's not even all of them. So that's a heck of a collection.
That actually reminds me of something that I learned over the week, because it's another game I forgot to mention.
Hmm.
Fantasy Zone for PC Engine is kind of crappy. At least the music is.
Aw, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. Let's see. Game Brew, clarifying the title there. It is, of course, Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem. That's right. That's what they're calling it here. And Game Brew says the pound is supposed to be a musical sharp symbol. So it's sharp F-E. I knew that that's what it meant in music, but the last time I think I've heard something like that in regards to a video game was, what was the role-playing game that had all the music?
Eternal Innuendos. Sonata?
Eternal Sonata, that was it. That was actually, that's a really underrated game, I think. History needs to remember that game a little better. That was a really good RPG. There's yeah, so felt, much musical innuendo in that game.
Yeah, it felt a little flat, didn't it?
Well, that's going to do it for tonight's Orange Lounge Radio. Dark Sakura will be sacked after tonight's episode. I'd like to apologize to all the listeners that had to deal with that punishment just then.
Am I in trouble?
You are in big trouble. You just got moved to Santa's naughty list. All right, let's go to the UK release dates.
I'll just play myself a little sad song on my piano. It's not really my forte, though.
I hate her so much, you guys.
Well, allow me to break out a little more fortissimo, and I'll do my part now.
I've been here for 7 years. Medication doesn't work.
I know. It fell on its face.
Shut up and read the release dates.
Gee, Rob. That was also a music joke, too.
The chatters are yelling, stop. She must be stopped.
Well, better a stop than a repeat, right? We could just do a rest.
Read release dates. I will end
there's
you.
One. In my magnum opus of puns. December 30th is Story of Seasons for 3DS. Finny.
Just a couple more quick stories for you guys, and we're going to get to the classic game of the week, Loki.
Or we may just skip that this week because, you know, for the hell of it. So another Smash Direct this week, and I think isn't this the last one that they're doing?
Last one ever.
So the way they end it with, of course, adding Bayonetta. So Bayonetta is going to be joining the Smash Brothers roster in the game.
And allow me to join what Twitter said in response to this week. Yes! Because that was basically my entire Twitter feed during that conference, was just one great big yes!
And I'm sure you're looking forward to the eventual amiibo outfit that will be coming out.
Oh, yeah. The Bayonetta amiibo is almost better news than Bayonetta being in the game, to be honest. But yeah, I'm with Dark Soccer. I like the fact that they have both the Bayonetta 1 and 2 outfits in
it,
too.
I want, though, the amiibo to be the original Bayonetta as well, because I really do not like her second game look. Mm.
We'll see.
I would pick up the game if I was discounted, but it's not. So, also, they're adding Corrin from Fire Emblem as well. And so that's going to be... They have, like, how many people from Fire Emblem now in this game? I mean, seriously.
I don't even know her.
I I've never played Fire Emblem.
There were a lot of people that were like, really, more Fire Emblem? But at the same time, I'm kind of like, I'm of two mindsets. I mean, there's a part of me that's like, okay, yeah, maybe I would have liked to see somebody a little more well-known. But at the same time, if Corrin is a solid character that they believe in, I mean, shouldn't she be allowed a chance to shine? It is a fighting game. It makes sense that you have sword wielders in it. And there's a shit ton of Pokemon and Mario characters. So what's another Fire Emblem character, especially with Japan?
But they've got, like,
six.
Cloud from six. Final Fantasy, Bayonetta. Like, they couldn't have said, instead of, okay, let's put, the 15th Fire Emblem character in there. They couldn't have, like, said,
six.
How about we do, whatever. It seems like 15. They could have just, like, hey, let's put, like, Birdo in there or something. Or, hey, how about a character from fucking Super Mario Brothers 2? Anybody.
At this point, I'm wondering why they don't do a Fire Emblem fighting game.
The chat room is correcting me on something. Corrin, like several of the other Fire Emblem characters, can be either male or female. I'm using female pronouns because that's how it was presented in the video, if I'm not mistaken. So that's what kind of I know it's both. Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying.
No, no,
it's both.
In the video that I saw, Corrin started off male and was kept from being referred to as Big Brother, Big Brother, Big Brother.
Oh.
Now Big Brother's Big Sister, and that's even better. I laughed so much.
So just so y'all can stop writing the emails. It does the same thing that Robin does, where you can be boy or girl.
That's cool, but once again, you know, I'd rather, like, some more obscure characters. Hey, let's put Captain Rainbow in there, or fucking, like, you know, anybody from Super Mario Bros. 2.
Here's the thing. If that had been the note they ended on, then I think a lot of us would be like, oh, okay, cool. But the fact that they said, okay, here's Corrin, and then here's fucking Bayonetta... Like, it's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm in. Like, you know, Corrin's just kind of like, oh, it's just like a little bit, it's a cherry on top. But Bayonetta, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Bayonetta is luscious.
Yeah, I can't freaking wait. I didn't download Cloud yet, though. I was so busy playing Xenoblade and even Mario Maker. I didn't even talk about it during my gaming week, but I was catching up on all the Mario Maker
event stages. Yeah, I played Mario Maker
event stages because I have to get all those new costumes, right? Like the Badge Arcade Bunny and all that stuff. I'm sure. I think you're talking about
one yet. They only had a few. I didn't have that latest update when I checked it last, so I only got the car and I forget. I got the cat thing from Monster Hunter and.
I'm almost positive you have a story on it after the break, so it'll probably jog your memory. Yeah.
No, I saw that. I'm just saying I didn't play those levels, the new ones, so I must have done it before they put those up.
But, yeah, you know, the developers, they made a solid game. If Corrin is the character they believe in and want to have in the game, they are more than welcome to do it. Cool.
I want there to be a Pokemon game that plays like Smash.
Well, it doesn't really play like Smash, I guess, but you kind of have a fighting Pokemon game coming at Pokken Tournament. Maybe not what you had in mind. Also, Mii costumes, right? Because yeah, I know some people are getting excited about some of those.
They're going to have the Mii costumes. They had, I was kind of disappointed that they didn't put any Mario RPG stuff like actual characters, but they have got, I want to say the Geno costume.
Yeah.
They had also, you know, stuff from, you could do, Chocobo, and then they also had like the Sonic characters, so like Knuckles, Tails. So that looked pretty cool. And then they have the Mii costumes out. Bionic armor from Brawler, or for the Brawler. Let's see, Gil from the Tower of Draga. And let's see.
Ashley from WarioWare, right?
Yeah, Ashley from WarioWare. Yeah. And Takamura from I have no idea what the fuck the series is. I'm not even going to bother.
You tried.
But Geno, though. Seriously, Geno would have been awesome.
I got to say, I think the one thing I was seeing about the Corrin thing is that people were like, couldn't we have gotten Geno instead of Corrin?
Do you remember Nazu no Kanojo?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It means it's mysterious girlfriend.
Mm. Wow, that cleared it up.
Well, look, here's the other thing. You kind of talk about Super Mario RPG. A couple years ago, I would have said, no way, no how. You're never getting a sequel to that game. Square and Nintendo are not going to be back in bed together. But now that we've got Cloud for Smash Brothers, Geno shows up as a costume, rumors gaining steam that Square is somehow heavily involved with NX. Y'all, I'm just saying, could you imagine? Tinfoil hat time. Tinfoil hat. This is Rob's dream. E3 2016, Nintendo NX it's fucking coming. And, you know, Reggie Fils-Aimé is out on stage and he punches a kid in the face. He's like, this is going to be so fucking rad. And then he says, and guess what title we're launching with? Super Mario RPG 2. I mean,
sorry, I squealed just now.
There's not enough Kleenex in the world to scoop up all the you know what that would be out there if that were to be the big announcement at NX. I'm just saying.
You know, that sounds like a great idea.
In my head, it's fabulous.
It's fabulous. And then they're like, and here's the controller. Oh, it's a fucking mobile touchscreen with no fucking buttons. Because we don't fucking get it. And then I would be like, damn you. No, I am not purchasing that.
So Nintendo, so in your dream, Loki.
No, seriously, like I watched,
just,
like
I could just see, like it, like just on a TV show, like I'm having this dream and I'm so pleasantly asleep, and then Loki comes in and ruins my dream.
Well, no, it's like
you get the game you've always wanted, and then they fuck it up.
Because I watched, like I watched one of those Did You Know Gaming things, and they were talking about the Wii U and stuff, and like we've heard the story before about like when they were talking about the online and everything, and how we have no fucking experience with the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live. Or how to create an infrastructure, and just boggles my mind that with the launch of the Wii U, they didn't fucking know anything about that shit. And I mean, even now, it's a little bit better, but that kind of scares me what we're going into with NX. Like, you would think, okay, they should really have a handle on how to run the structure of everything. I mean, they just started doing DLC, like a year or two ago? I mean, I'm just like, I hope it's good. I hope it's good. But I'm worried that they don't get it, and it's going to be fucked up somehow.
All right. SSGO and Hunter Matt in chat says, I dream of having Twitch stream of Loki's live reaction of the NX announcement. This is why they invented Periscope.
Are they announcing it this year? Because I'm seriously thinking about taking off time for E3 this year.
I think 2016, I think E3 will be the big announcement. I think there's so much hype going into this. I can't see how they don't announce it at the next E3. We'll see. Let's see. Also, ActDeft trying to sell Dark Sakura on Pokken, saying Pokken isn't like Smash, but it's like Tekken, and Dark Sakura loves Tekken. So
I don't know if I'm feeling it with Pokemon, though.
All right. And Dark Tetsuya says, I just want a date and title on Zelda U.
Yeah, Zelda U.
But man, who saw Akuma in Tekken, in the new Tekken?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Awesome. Oh, my God. I was like,
that was random.
I know.
Yeah, it's random, but it's like, what the fuck did happen to Tekken Cross Street Fighter? I mean, it's like, hey, you have Street Fighter in there now.
Maybe.
Where's the rest of it?
Maybe that's it. Maybe
I just kind of gurgled a little bit. And
you know what it is? It's fucking Tekken 7 with the Tekken Cross Street Fighter DLC.
Be careful what you wish for. That is, I don't know. I'm going to upgrade that from tinfoil hat to like paper mache hat, because that is a lot more realistic, I think, that concept. Just saying. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's talk about one big thing that's been developing the past couple weeks is Sony releasing more PlayStation 2 games on the PlayStation 4. Did you know that Parappa 2 came out in the week that we've been off? Or no, it was just this past week, actually. Parappa the Rappa 2 is now available on PlayStation 4. That's kind of cool. Well, anyway, Sony's been doing a campaign on Twitter where you can use the hashtag PS2PS4. Get it? Because PS2... It's like the play on
They're
the
They're not putting
two.
PlayStation games on the PlayStation 4. That doesn't make any sense.
Shut up. All right. Anyway, so using that hashtag, they are Dave Thatch with Sony is tracking what the popular suggestions are to figure out what games should be brought over to the PS4 yet. Some of the games that have been noticed have been, I guess, trending a little bit. Tekken, SOCOM, Fatal Frame, Time Splitters, Simpsons Hit and Run, God Hand, Persona 3, Dragon Quest, and Kingdom Hearts.
Now, Time Splitters 2 would be good. Please do Time Splitters 2.
I can't believe that Final Fantasy 12 would not be on that list.
Well, Final Fantasy 12 already got an HD remake that's already on. Well, no, actually, it didn't.
I was like, it did? Because I've been asleep then, because I don't think it has.
Are they doing that?
No. Everything's been quiet on Final Fantasy 12. The game I want most of all, Katamari Damacy. We just talked about it. It was Classic Game of the Week a couple weeks ago.
You know what I want?
That's the one I want.
I want the games that I fucking purchased already to be fucking available is what I want. I want that shit to fucking just work without having me buy that shit again.
Oh, Loki, you're asking for too much.
Apparently.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase title.
All right, let's go to the classic game of the week. We're going to take a walk down memory lane to a time. The games did not have DLC. There was not a separate DLC adventure. There was no patch. It was just, this is the game you get. Take it or leave it. In fact, this is the game that our system comes with. Right, Dark Sakura? Sort of.
Not necessarily. Not at the beginning.
No. All right. Well, let's get to it. What is the classic game of the week, Dark Sakura?
The classic game of the week is Bonk's Adventure. Yay. It was done by Red Company and Atlus. It came out in 1989 in Japan and 1990 in North America for the TurboGrafx-16. Now, as we all know, the TurboGrafx-16 in Japan was called the PC Engine. When this game came out in Japan, it was called PC Genjin, because it sounded like PC Engine, sort of. And it has come out... it was re-released in the US in 1992 on the Gates of Thunder 4-in-1 game CD-ROM. So a bunch of... And actually another pretty good TurboGrafx game. It had ports for the NES, Game Boy, and Amiga, and different other systems under some different titles like FC Genjin, GB Genjin, and BC Genjin. And it was out on Virtual Console and on PlayStation Store. There's even a mobile version in Japan for phones. So basically, your main character is Bonk, who has a very, very big head. An unbelievably... His head's bigger than the orange on a toothpick kid's head from So I Married an Axe Murderer. That's pretty big. So he's a bald cave boy who basically fights dinosaurs and other different prehistoric type enemies with his head. His unbreakable, invincible head. He basically has Luke Cage for a head. Except, you know, without being that awesome. So he has to rescue Princess Za, who is a pink, like, plesiosaur type dinosaur lady, from King Drool, who is a Tyrannosaurus style. In the arcade version, Bonk also has a female version of himself that you can play as. So anyway, Bonk basically hits things with his head. Bonk's health, he starts off with 3 hearts, and they can be depleted as he takes damage, and he has 3 extra lives. But he can restore his life by eating fruits and vegetables. See what they did there, kids? He can also get pieces of meat as power-ups that give him different special abilities and make him stronger. So he gets his normal self for the first stage. The second stage, he can stun enemies by pounding on the ground. And the third stage, he becomes temporarily invulnerable. He gets big meat and small meat, so he's an equal meat eater. So when the third stage of meat power wears off, he goes back to the second stage, and then he goes back to regular Bonk. He also can get different power-ups that will refill his health, or a large red heart that restores all of his health. There's also blue heart power-ups that will increase his heart health by 1 heart. So the game, I mean, it... The other thing about naming it PC Genjin is that Genjin is also Japanese for caveman. So... It works in 2 different ways. It's a fun pun, guys. It was meant to be called, if I'm right, PC Kid. But they never called it the PC Engine in the US. So, and I doubt they could have called it, like, Turbo Boy or something. So they called it Bonk's Adventure. The game has always been Bonk's Adventure here in the U.S. In 2003, Hudson did a 3D remake of Bonk's Adventure in the Hudson Selection games that came out only in Japan on PlayStation 2 and GameCube. But yeah, Bonk was basically like the big character used to advertise the TurboGrafx-16 in the U.S. around the mid-90s. And I do believe that, yeah, Bonk was used as a launch title for a while, wasn't it?
I want to say it was because I think my buddy had a TurboGrafx-16, and I think he had this game, and I feel like he got them together. I don't know if that was just, you know, Santa brought them both, but...
I want to say that when the TurboGrafx came out, it was Keith Courage or...
That's right. It might have been Keith Courage was actually the packing game. But then this... I think it's like one of those things, like kind of like a Sega and Sonic. Like once Sonic really took off, they started packing that in.
Well, but keep in mind, I think that one of the other big ones that kind of was used for advertising was Airzonk.
Mm.
Remember?
Yeah, I do.
All really, you know, decent games. So husband was, husband, why am I saying husband? Because Dan was playing this too. Hudson was also working on a reboot to call it Bonk Brink of Extinction for WiiWare and PSN. But when Hudson closed, it went into limbo.
And who bought Hudson, boys and girls? Who bought Hudson? Who's done nothing with this?
Konami!
Correct!
I couldn't even bring myself to... Their name is forbidden from my lips. Unless it's old Konami.
Yes.
Old Konami. Sadness. It was supposed to be getting a Wii U virtual console release. This was announced on October 19th this year, but no one said anything. But the rating out there was supposed to also indicate PS3 and PSP, so that it was supposed to be the TurboGrafx version, which is the better version, you know. But that's it, Bonk's Adventure.
Here it is. It is on the regular Wii Virtual Console. I have it there. Because some folks in chat are talking about, like, well, how do I play this game? Somebody said, I didn't ever own a console that this was on, but I'm pretty sure it's on the regular Wii Virtual Console, which, remember, you can boot your Wii U into Wii mode to get that game. I mean, it's kind of a pain, but you can do it.
I will tell you this. If you can get your hands on the TurboGrafx, finding a copy of Bonk is not difficult. It's not a rare game. It's just, you know, the problem is finding, as they called them in the U.S., turbo chips or the Hue cards for the PC Engine. You can get ROMs for some of these things. There is, I think, a licensed emulator, don't quote me, but Magic Engine, which has been out for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's got like full arcade card support and everything and will play Hue card, turbo chip games, any of them. You just like, though, for the duo games, you actually have to have the disc to play. But you know, which actually I have to say, we got our Turbo Everdrive, and the one thing that has actually kind of made me sad is that we had heard a rumor that it was going to let you do arcade card stuff so that we can play some of our arcade card duo games, like what is the one we have, one of the Fatal Fury games I know we have for the arcade card CD, and I think our other one is Strider for PC Engine arcade card games, and it doesn't work for that. So if that's what you're looking for, it's not going to work. So we're kind of back to trying to find a US compatible version of the arcade card or the duo add-on for the core graphics.
Gotcha. All right.
Oh, well.
Well, there it is, your classic game of the week, Bonk's Adventure, a very, very classic TurboGrafx title or PC Engine, depending on what country you were in. On that note, we are going to take a quick break, take a moment here to stretch and refill our drinks here in the OLR studio and so forth. When we come back, though, there's plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including rapid fire news, the Fugle question of the week, which is about sports ball in honor of our guest this week. And we're going to get to the mailbag, the FUs of the week, and hopefully your calls, although with the Skype rig tonight, I don't know how well that's going to work. So we're going to try, though. All we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight on December the 20th of 2015 with episode number 624 of our show already in progress. in the middle here of the holiday season, get into full gear. I know a lot of folks celebrating Christmas in the next week, so Merry Christmas to those that celebrate. Next week will be the last show of 2015, if you can believe it. And I'm sure we'll be taking a look back on the year in gaming, maybe looking back at some of our favorites of the year and some things that weren't so great in the past year. We will be running over all of that next week on episode 625, a nice kind of round number, a multiple of 25, I suppose, to end the year on. So that'll all be next week on the show. But let's get back into the news from this week with some rapid fire news. Loki.
Hey, there's a new game from the people that made Flappy Bird. It's called Swing Copters 2.
The people? The person.
Person, whatever.
The one dude.
The people that played the game.
Who did not like being famous.
Popular to get him to make another one. So, people. Anyway, so Dong Nguyen, he went ahead and made a new game, a sequel to one of his previous games, Swing Copters, and now it's out and you can play it. Yay. It's free still and ad-supported. Yeah. All right. And this is like, seriously... I'm surprised I'm actually seeing his company name, and I guess not surprised that it's coming to the Wii U, but apparently Napster, that's right, the previous, you know, file-sharing music site that turned legit is now going to be coming to the Wii U as a free app on December 17th, and it also has a 30-day trial, and then you can... I guess there's different promotions. If you want to subscribe for 3 months, you can get pay $1. Otherwise, it's $9.99 a month. No thanks. But I'll be coming to the Wii if you want to check that out. And last but not least, Mario Maker is getting some updates. So there's going to be some three elements added in a new free update. These include being able to... have an alternate for the spike wheel, and so instead of the grinder, you can actually turn it into a bumper that kind of looks like a donut or like an inflatable inner tube or something. Basically,
like a pinball bumper type of
thing. Basically something that you bump off of. Also, they've got doors that are activated, warp doors that are activated by a P switch, and you can do that by shaking the door.
Oh, like ghost houses. I didn't realize that was missing. I guess that's...
Yeah. And then
I was just going to say, I can't wait for that level that's nothing but like Mario getting bumped around from start to finish. That's just going to be like the bounce house or something. Like bump, 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 because you know that level's coming.
And then the Koopa Clown car is getting a version that shoots fire. And you can shoot like fireballs, and then I guess you can charge shot and destroy blocks with it or something.
Cool, more fire.
Yes, so that'll be coming December 22nd. And also with that, they're going to have a bookmark system that allows players to save levels from the web portal for later.
That's kind of cool.
Still don't know why they have a web portal to find levels instead of it having been built into the game, like Little Big Planet. Once again, I just don't think they get it.
I guess they're trying to work around it with what they got. But yeah, I hear you. I don't disagree.
Along with that, of course, some new costumes you'll be able to play as, including Badge Arcade Bunny. They're going to have Mr. Saturn and Master Belch are going to be available.
They are there, actually. They're already right in the there? Game. Yep.
Awesome. So check it out. Play the 8-bit games to or 8-bit levels to unlock them. And then also there is another costume that's not part of this but actually leaked out already. And this is from a Mario Maker level that is on the shop right now that someone hacked and somehow got this costume in there. And it's actually the Skypop plane from Super Mario Land.
Oh, wow. That's obscure.
Yeah, so you'll be able to play that soon because apparently they already have the level out there to download.
Wow.
Someone hacked it.
That's cool. Yeah. And I'm loving that all these updates are free.
Yes.
Thank you. Cool. Thank you, Nintendo. It's something you've been doing very well this year, so thank you. Another game that's done very well for Nintendo this year is Splatoon, which, by the way, did you know there was a Splatfest this weekend? Totally missed it. Just so many other games going on. But, there was a Splatfest. Who won? ActF? Somebody, who won the Splatfest thing? Because I probably would have used reverse logic and gone Team Nice, assuming everybody else would go Team Naughty. But maybe, I don't know who that... Oh, Naughty won. See, and I would have been fucked over again. All right. Anyhow, so Splatoon, it's been a huge success since launching in May. It has sold over 2.42 million copies worldwide, and it's done very well in Japan. Apparently, Nintendo announced this week 1 million of those copies sold in Japan. So congratulations. That's great, especially because, you know, Nintendo took a big risk on a new franchise, but a lot of people really love in Splatoon, and it's been doing very well for them. So I'm sure we have not seen the last of it. Also, to celebrate this milestone, Nintendo is going to hold a Squid Sisters concert. Splatoon Squid Sisters Live 2016 will take place at a convention center in Chiba City on January 30th. So, yes, it's only for Japan, but Splatoon kind of has a fun little, like, surf rock soundtrack that goes with it. So I bet that'll be a lot of fun to see played live. So, I'm very curious to see what that turns out as. Maybe they'll. A lot of times these concerts get CDs made of them too, so I wonder if they won't end up doing a CD of the live concert later on. We'll see. But that's Splatoon. Earlier in the show, I brought up Fast Racing Neo, and there is an update already planned for Fast Racing Neo. From a tweet from Shinen Games that actually created the game, they have announced that there is an update scheduled for January that will include a track minimap that is not in the game right now. And I didn't mention this when I was talking about the game earlier. The Wii U gamepad, what's it used for? Off-screen play, and that's it. It is not used for anything else. So maybe the track minimap will be on the gamepad. Who knows? Online tags. I have not played the game online yet, so I guess you can't see people's tags online, but that will be fixed in January. And then they say stability improvements and the good old-fashioned various fixes. But that's nice to see that Fast Racing Neo is getting that support. And from what I'm hearing, doing very well in the online store. It was the number one online game in the past week. So props to those folks. Gee, I guess people wanted an F-Zero-like game on the Wii U after all. Who knew? Hey, look, even a story about Pokken Tournament, maybe just trying to get Darksoccer's attention, begging for it here. It's going to launch alongside a special Wii U controller in Japan. When the Wii U version comes out on March 18th, there's going to be a Wii U bundle that has a digital copy of the game. There's going to be a wired controller that comes with it as well, but it's more like it looks different. It's kind of like a longer controller that I guess looks more like the arcade version. But anyway, it's going to be available, and it will also be compatible with the Wii U gamepad, the Wii U Pro controller, and the Wii Classic Controller Pro. So please look forward to that. Darksoccer.
Well, we have some news about Nobi Nobi Boy. Girl has finally reached boy. Girl and boy have met up again. They are now completely joined and happy. So girl reached Pluto and then has looped around and started making her way back to Earth. And it took 6 years of people playing Nobi Nobi Boy. So
that's, is that all?
That's all.
But how many times did boy eat, or Nobi Nobi Boy eat his own butt? I mean, because
That's a valid question, Darkseid.
I played Nobi Nobi Boy on my phone for, like, ages. Mm-hmm. I mean, you used to see, I kept posting on Facebook.
It's true.
That I would give boy and girl all the love that I could. Do you know that that's what Dan and I call each other?
Really?
Even before the game came out. He was always, like, when I give him cards, it's to boy from girl.
Aww.
Yep. You know what? Stop. You know what? They make treatments for hairballs, Rob. So, the Final Fantasy VII Remake group, they're getting some help from the Kingdom Hearts team, too. So, they are going to be doing a lot more development in it, too, where you can actually fully explore Midgar. So, the multi-part thing isn't going to affect your ability to go around the game. You get more attention on Biggs Wedge and Jesse, and a lot more neat stuff on, though. And they're trying to bring back the voice cast from Advent Children. So
nice.
Also, Cloud's hallucinations are supposed to be more meaningful. I wonder if he's going to mention Xenogears, like he did in the original.
Anything's possible.
And then, sort of a last but not least... Kurt Schilling, we know him, right? Baseball guy, 38 Studios founder.
Yes.
Well, he's like, I'm not going to say anything else about this. I'm done. So unless they subpoena him, that's it. And he says, I've not been served anything by anyone. There's not a person on this planet with even a smidgen of knowledge about the law who would say anything, but hell no, he shouldn't testify while there is a bogus, an incredibly wasteful civil suit still hanging around. So, and honestly enough, I mean, I don't know if it was exactly all his fault, but I think he's just done. I would be done too.
I have a feeling he's kind of done with games for a long
while. Which was sad because, I mean, the guy himself, just as he is,
yeah,
had a real passion for it.
He did really love games.
And got way burnt by the whole thing, so.
Yeah.
So sad face.
I guess that's too bad. All right. Well, also, I want to read this comment from our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. SJ100 Matt commenting on Kurt Schilling saying, he's put his foot in his mouth too much lately. He's about to lose his job at ESPN. Ouch. And Bobby Blackwolf talking about Kingdom Hearts saying, Kingdom Hearts team needs to work on Kingdom Hearts and not Final Fantasy. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that kind of feel that way. My assumption is that Kingdom Hearts might be at a point in development where some people can be shifted. Like, you know how some things are done early on in the process and maybe Final Fantasy VII Remake needs help with that part. I don't know. We'll see. No. So hopefully that's it. I can't see that they're actually taking resources from Kingdom Hearts. I mean, it's not like when they had to fix Final Fantasy XIV and things got really quiet at Square for a while before the Final Fantasy XIV Realm Reborn came out. I don't think it's like that, but we'll see. All right, let's go to the Foogle question of the week. Every week we go to our Facebook and our Google Plus communities. We ask a question. And we get some answers. And this week we wanted to ask about sports ball. Because, you know, we did have Rick from Tipping Goat Games was here earlier. And we wanted to talk about sports games. So our question this week is, do you prefer the simplicity of a retro-style sports game? Or do you prefer the complexity of the modern-style sports games? Why did you answer the way you did? So let's get to some of the answers over on Facebook. Redertainment saying, the NBA Street games were pretty dope until they started adding in the overly complicated game breakers that required 4 or 5 simultaneous button presses to pull off. So I'm going with simplicity. Tiger Claw says, I prefer sports games with simplistic control. Games like NBA Jam is more fun for casual players since you don't have complicated controls. One button is passing, the other for shooting. Any sports games that everyone can play makes for a good party game. Andy R. said, I don't play many sports games, but the ones I have were the retro simple ones. So I guess those. Hitstun says, I like old arcade-style sports games more, not because they're simple, but because they're fast. Modern sports games are accurate, even to the boring parts. Games like RBI Baseball, NBA Jam, and NFL Blitz have better pacing than real-life sports, and that makes them better games. SSG100 Matt says, to answer your question, yes. To tell you the truth, I have a place in my heart for both complex and retro or simplistic-style sports games. I love playing, managing with real-world characters, the professional athletes themselves, and learning different strategies and skills to compete against certain defenses and offenses. I also love playing the really simple and sometimes over-the-top sports games that are scaled down to the essence of why people enjoy sports. Scoring, hitting, dunking, shooting, throwing, passing, kicking, punching, etc. Dr. Tetsuya says, the realistic or simulation style stat stuff doesn't appeal to me as much as the fast-paced arcade-y style of sports game, Blitz, NBA Jam, and so on. I suppose it's that I'm more a casual sports fan than a hardcore one. And lastly on Facebook, Jim Sally, our buddy Jim Sally with his train, says, when I play sports games, I want the controls to be as simple as punching my buddy in the arm while he's sitting next to me. If you want to play some complex hockey, buy a hockey stick and a Cooper ball and start playing for real. Best thing is the 3D graphics in real life are almost as good as the new Xbox. But I like the way that's phrased. Only almost. And going to Google Plus, we have no answers on Google Plus this week. Now look, I know we all joke about Google Plus being dead, but usually there's a few of you that are loyal over on Google Plus, so I don't know what's going on.
I've used Google Plus more now than...
Yeah, ever since Ingress started, right?
Just now, technically, I haven't posted anything on Google Plus. Let's be clear,
the Hangouts.
But Hangouts, yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Nothing on Google Plus this week. So, there you go. All right. So, we're going to get back into some news. But Dark Soccer, you're on your way out, right? You had to take off a little early?
Yeah, I told the hubby a little bit later than this, but he says he's here now. So, I guess I'm out. because I didn't drive here today. Dan dropped me off. We went to see Star Wars today. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he dropped me off because also my tires are a little bit unsafe.
Uh-oh.
Just a little bit. I mean, I don't think it would have really been too bad for me to drive on, but at the same time, we were just going to be careful, so especially with the rain. So right. I guess I'm gone.
All right. Okay, well, that's okay. Did you want to tell us really quick that story you had coming up here? We'll do things
I
a little out of order.
I just closed everything.
Oh. All right.
Sorry.
I got it.
All right. All right, Loki's got it. Some folks in chat are saying, Dan on the show. They got places to be. Sadly, they're on their way out. So, thank you for being here tonight, Dark Soccer, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Have a good holiday week. We will do cheesecake.
Oh, my God, stop it, computer.
Your computer's giving you a little taste of what the show computer was giving me earlier. All right. All right, well, Loki and I will hold down the fort here with our remaining news stories, so let's get to it. Loki.
So this is kind of cool. So you know that whole Retron console that was supposed to be coming out, the one that was going to be based off of like cartridges and it would play like 18 or 8 to 32-bit style games?
The Retro Magazine people were doing it, right?
Yeah, that console. So anyways, now they've got support. Now it's no longer going to be the Retron video game system, but it's now they've been backed by ColecoVision. Do you remember Coleco? Shit, wow. that was like my first game system back in the 80s. You know, they haven't been around forever. But now they have a brand new system coming out called the ColecoVision or the Coleco Chameleon.
A quick thought on your way
I'm
out,
sorry,
Dark
I'm putting on my shoes right now.
Yeah.
I actually still have my ColecoVision from when I was a kid and another ColecoVision.
I wonder if it'll have old school Coleco games built in. It makes sense because
we finally get
consoles.
The expansion module number 3.
I almost bought the Coleco Flashback today. They have them on. They're closing them out of Target. So,
oh, are they?
Or Walmart, actually. They're closing them out there. And
I really want the Atari one for some reason.
They've got that in the Intellivision one.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, yeah. So that's pretty cool. And then, of course, this is supposed to be launching in 2016. I'm curious to see how well it does. I'm kind of skeptical because...
Well, I mean, when they first announced this, I was like, I think it's really awesome what they're doing. I think it's extremely niche, and I'm not sure how they're going to make money on it. But now that they have the backing of Coleco, I kind of feel like that's going to maybe put it in more stores, and it's going to make it more visible. So I kind of think it has a way better shot now than maybe – I mean, and again, I don't mean to poo-poo it and say, oh, it's never going to succeed. But I just feel like it was a really steep climb, and this is going to really help give them that visibility
that it needs.
The controller
looks interesting because it looks like a Wii U gamepad, like the Wii U Pro gamepad. You know,
not the screen or anything.
Not the screen,
just,
but just like that.
Gamepad.
You know, it's identical to like one of those gamepads, and then like the middle portion though has like it's basically the Super NES controller. So,
I just think it's going to be weird when we see games out there like the retro-tastic games, and it's like going to be coming out soon on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Coleco. Like what?
I hope it does well, but like I just don't know because like now if you want those retro games, you can still get them on the other platforms. It's not like this is the only way to get that fix.
Yeah, they're going to have some exclusives or it's going to – yeah, I get that. So
like I don't need the – no, I'm not going to buy a console for Shovel Knight when Shovel Knight's out on like a billion platforms right now.
Yeah, no, I hear it. Well, I hear it.
Like several platforms.
So – all right. Well, I'm very curious to see how that progresses. Again, I think that's really good news for that, and it's gonna bump it a little bit out of something that otherwise would have been extremely niche.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on and talk about another Wii U game this week. There's a lot of Wii U stuff in the news this week. Did you know that a new Wii U game actually came out this week, this last Friday, called Devil's Third? I actually think it wasn't. I think that was the Friday before where we're at now.
Yeah, it was Itagaki's game.
That's right. Itagaki had put this game together for Wii U, and I remember it kind of like...
It's supposed to be a THQ game, and then it
kind of disappeared, but now it's out. Well, apparently the game is really hard to find. Apparently Best Buy had no copies in stock in an entire district, and GameStop, very few copies. GameStop apparently told this reporter that there was only 420 copies of the game for sale in the entire country. What? Is that like only for the .com? Or is that like each store got one copy of the game? Like that doesn't, and that's not even each store. That's like big stores got one copy of the game. That's crazy.
Better pre-order.
I know, right?
I hear the game wasn't very good, but I mean, that's, I guess that's fine. That makes sense, you know, that there's only that many physical copies. It is available digitally, so that's not a big deal. But people are snatching this shit up like it's a fucking collector's item.
Yeah, and it's turning around and showing up on eBay, right?
And it's a fucking, it's a pretty shitty game, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess everyone wants to make a buck.
William Murderface in chat says, apparently it's really bad. Dungeon Buster saying, the Europeans got it months ago and pretty much panned it. What meme is asking, is it a full $60 game? Unfortunately, the answer
50,
is yes.
I think.
Or 50.
$50.
Brad from Pod Culture and Act Deft mentioning the 420 there. 420, blaze it. Which actually, you know, as much as you kind of joke, sometimes people put news stories out there that are intentionally false to see how far they'll travel. 420, that is an odd coincidence of a number to put in a story, so maybe a little bit of salt with that. But I think it really is fact to say the game is fucking hard to find. Whether it was 420 or 600 or
well,
12,
to be fair,
it's not an easy game
to
find.
To be fair, it is plausible because the reason for that is they manufactured those discs in lots of 30, and so 420 is divisible by 30. So,
oh, look at you bringing science into this.
So, I mean, there's that.
I had no idea they did it in lots
of
30.
Yeah, it's cases of 30 for disc games usually. Wii U.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I learned something today.
24 for PlayStation, because the discs are different. I don't know why it's only 24, but usually 24 for like PlayStation 3. I think now when everything's on Blu-ray, it's all 30, but most of the time it's 30.
Dungeon Buster in chat over at live.vognetwork.com saying, Loki laying down the industry knowledge. Yeah, I got to admit, I'm pretty impressed. Good, that's good.
But then again, 420 could also be completely made up. So, I mean, it's plausible. It's not a lot. And I kind of would wonder like what the minimum runs are on those things, because they, you know, normally they have to sell so many in order to make it worthwhile. And usually they have to run more than, I think, 420 copies.
Yeah, unless Nintendo just straight up took a loss on this. But the game is available in the digital store, right? Get it on the store if you really want to pay the full money.
I just think, I don't remember what their minimums are, because I just know from like, you know, like there was a 3DS title that someone had made, or DS title, that was like some simulation game, and they independently had it printed, and it was like they had to make like 8,000 copies or something of it, like some ridiculous amount. So if you have to make 8,000 copies of that, you know, you probably have to make more than 420 copies.
I have a feeling someone's already written it off as a loss somewhere.
Well, I'm just saying, because like, why even make a physical disc if you're going to only print that many copies? Yeah. You would think that they would make at least a few thousand. I don't know.
Maybe they have to for like tax reasons or something crazy. I mean, I'm talking out my ass a little bit, but it would make sense.
I don't know. Yeah. Or they had trouble getting it through customs. Damn those customs. it's terrible. Hey, that's a pretty smart move though. Hey, let's make only these many copies and make it crazy that people want it and have to get it. And now they're selling all those copies. I don't know. Whatever.
All right. Well, let's move on with some more stories. What else you got for us, Logie?
All right. Actually, I think that would be you.
With the Devil's Third story? I just did that. You can talk about...
Oh, that's right. Oh, we're talking about Jamie.
Yeah, we can
talk
about the first story, I guess.
Okay, so there's apparently... this is kind of interesting. So Good Game Studios, they're accused of busting a union that was being created by their former employees. And so I guess allegedly they were... Let's see here. 28 employees were involved with establishing a workers' council, and then the company laid off that council earlier this year. And
oh, wow.
So they kind of were brought up against allegations, and I don't know. It's they're denying that they did anything wrong, but it's kind of like, that's kind of weird that you would lay all those people off after they did this.
Well, there's a lot of people talking about how difficult and demanding the industry can be sometimes. I mean, you really have to love video games because especially during, you know, some real crunch periods, you know, people work these crazy long days. And I'm sure you all have heard of this, you know, coming out of EA and some of the stuff here. Now, this studio, if I'm not mistaken, they're in Germany. So, yeah. I mean, now it has that complexity of, you know, I know what the laws are like here in America, but I don't know what it's like in Germany.
It's hard to say, is it because of the union that they were laid off or is it because of the development cycle that they were laid off?
Yeah, and who knows? So there's a lot of those questions to answer, but I think it definitely goes to show that there's some people that get so frustrated maybe with some of the – because sometimes these – crunch, and I'm saying sometimes. Sometimes these crunch periods are a result of bad decisions, right? A bad decision is made up top, and that trickles down, and everybody else has to pay for it, right?
Yeah.
So that's why sometimes these unions and things are being formed is to kind of like, I guess, make those higher up a little more accountable for the decisions they make and the trickle that could have. But again, you throw the international complexity into it. I'm not really sure how that all works out, but very interesting. Oh. All right. Did you want to talk about Minecraft as well before we get to the mailbag?
Yeah. So Minecraft got a console update, and they're saying it's the biggest one yet. Brings the game up to version 1.88 and adds a bunch of new things, new biomes, including Mesa, Mega Taiga, a roofed forest, birch forest, savanna, extreme hills, plus deep ocean and snowless taiga. And let's see, there's new mobs, including the Endermite, Guardian, Elder Guardian, rabbits, and chicken jockeys. I was looking through my son's book. He has a Minecraft book that talks about like some of the enemies and stuff. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck these characters are. Like, this wasn't when I was playing, so I need to go back to the PC version. Other things, new blocks, including granite, packed ice, red sandstone, diorite, prismarine. Also, you can catch treasure while fishing. The buttons can be placed on top of or on the tops and bottoms of blocks. Skeletons flee from wolves, and spiders no longer see through solid blocks. And that's coming to PlayStation, Xbox players. No Wii U update yet.
Yeah, of course. All right. Well, I guess I'll have to jump back in. I have the PlayStation version and of Minecraft. So
we should do that again because I keep talking to my son about like how we used to play on the server and stuff, and it. You know, it's a lot more fun when you have more people playing. But
It is. Do you have it on PlayStation 4? We could just do a little...
I do have it on PlayStation 4. I have it on PlayStation 4.
Streaming thing.
And on Wii U and Xbox 360 and Windows 10.
You have it everywhere.
On my phone, on my iPod. Yeah, pretty much everywhere.
Oh, and I thought I was bad at buying the same game in multiple places. Your Minecraft collection puts my Mass Effect 3 collection to shame. Just saying. All right. Well, Valve, a lot of people rumbling about the upcoming Steam sale, right? Seems like it's inevitable. We got a winter sale coming pretty soon. And, you know, a lot of people usually praise Steam and all that they do. But interesting, Steam's taking a few hits this year. And another one on its way is that Valve is being sued in the country of France, not here in the States, but still, we'd like to cover news everywhere. And that is they're being sued in France by, and I'm going to horribly mispronounce this name. I'm sorry. It's UFC K. Clacier. I have no idea how to pronounce that. I'm sorry, as I do not speak French, but that is a French Consumer Association. That's what you need to know. It's French Consumer Association. And they put out a new letter and said that the Steam subscriber agreement contains clauses which are detrimental to consumer interests. Apparently, it all comes down to the fact that users cannot resell their digital games. And that's something that French law allows for. And we've talked about this on the show before, is that whole controversy about being able to sell a digital game. And what's interesting is that the Steam storefront is kind of set up for that, right? Like, because you can put games in your inventory, but the used thing, you can't really do it. You can do it with a new game that you haven't installed and played yet, but you can't really do it with a used game. And I guess the French association taking some issue with that. Also, though, it isn't just limited to that. Some other things cited is that Valve does not assume responsibility in cases where accounts get hacked and users' personal information gets stolen. That is also can be said for how the company claims ownership of any user-created content that is uploaded to Steam. Apparently Valve, they use Luxembourg's consumer law in all countries it operates in, so that way they don't take into account each country's different rules. But it should be noted that Valve was already sued once in a German court by a German consumer group a couple years ago, probably when some of these stories first came up about the whole used games digital stuff. Valve actually won that case, but that was in 2014, and this is another country. So we'll see what happens with that. That could really change things if folks are able to resell their digital games. I mean, all of a sudden, your library, man, people are going to be unloading games in their library for like 25 cents a pop. I mean, it's going to be very interesting. I don't know. I've always hesitated buying digital games. I mean, it's one thing on Steam when they unload games for, you know, 99 cents or like $3.99 for a little game. It makes it very easy to buy that digitally because whatever equity you feel like you'd have in that game would be literally dollars and cents. But it's a little harder sometimes to spend $60 on a game you're not sure about digitally, because you know you're going to get stuck with that game if you don't really like it. But if you have it on disc, you can at least resell it. Your game has some equity. It has some value in it. It'll be very interesting to see how that could really change the market. I worry for smaller indie developers that really rely on Steam, that might not have the best effect.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of hard to do that.
I kind of worry for them. But I definitely get people's frustration with the AAA side of things. Like, what was it? Batman Arkham Knight, right?
Yeah.
Was a shit show on Steam. And, you know, they kind of had to eat a lot of crap for it. And they were charging, what, $60 for that, right? So if people wanted to get rid of that, I there's a part of me that kind of thinks they should. Well, Steam did enact that whole refund thing, I think, to try to account for some of that. But I don't know. I feel a little differently when it comes to a big, big Warner Brothers $60 game like that. And then, like, you know, for example's sake, the game we were talking about earlier tonight, Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. You know, I don't know if I feel like, you know, we heard it's one guy that's doing most of this. I mean, he gets some contract help and so forth. But I would kind of feel bad if maybe the value of his game gets undercut by this all of a sudden emerging used game market. Right?
Yeah.
So it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. I don't know. So, all right. But I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know at the end of the day. We're going to get to the mailbag, you guys. It's time to open up the mailbag where you guys participate with us every week. Over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. If you want to send us an email, that is participate@orangeloungeradio.com. I'm logging into the mailbag now because usually Dark Soccer will dive into the mailbag and read some mail for you guys. But as y'all heard a minute ago, she had to leave early. So it's just me tonight. So I'm going to get to the emails. We have three of them tonight, starting off with this one. This one's from Robert M., who says, here's two quick questions and a longer, hopefully cool thing from Halloween. Yes, the email is from this week. First, I don't know if the comic storyline will affect Captain America Civil War in the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, but if Falcon takes over the role of Captain from Rogers, will he be Captain Falcon? No, that's a dumb question. Actually, can Captain America fly now, or did that not happen in Ultimate Marvel? I do not follow comics at all. I hate to say it. By the way, I really want a comic show on VOG Network. I'm just putting it out there. I've been wanting one for years. So if you know a long-running show that's interested in joining up with some of us, I would love that, because this is where I would ask them help, because I have no idea. John picks up a lot of that slack, so does Brad from Pod Culture, but I would love some comic experts in here. Loki, do you follow any of that stuff?
No.
Brad from Pod Culture is filling in a little bit here, saying Falcon became Captain and flies. So that's how that works. And I do, now from what I remember, the new movie trailer, you do see Falcon in it. So who knows where the Marvel Cinematic Universe will go with that. Anyhow, second, have any of you, including Bobby, gotten to see the Gear VR yet? Sorry if that was already discussed. Well, funny enough, Jamie talked about her experiences earlier in the show. Bobby owns one. I know that because he's the one that showed the Gear VR to me. And so, yeah, I've used Gear VR. Funny enough, I didn't play any games in Gear VR. The stuff I saw was like experiences. I saw like a Cirque du Soleil thing and like a Paul McCartney concert. And I know I've talked about this on the show before. You'll want to go back to February of this year when I was at PAX East. That was the week I got to play the Gear VR. Loki, did you end up getting one of these?
I haven't bought one, though. It's because it's $100. And I don't use my Oculus. Well, I didn't use my Oculus because it runs like shit on my laptop, which is fine because it's not meant to run on my laptop. I haven't had the money to build a new computer yet to run the Oculus. And then, of course, I'll probably just buy the actual retail one. But my phone's nice and should be able to run. Well, it does run the Gear VR stuff, so I just... Maybe eventually. I don't know. I have to see what they have on it, and like maybe if I develop stuff for it, that's a ways away. So I'm holding out right now.
All right. And let's see, going to the last little bit of the email here from Robert M. And finally, I thought I'd share 2 months after slapping this together. I built a nearly 2-foot-tall figure for Halloween using Lego's Hero Factory or Bionicle building system. I figured I wanted to try building a large-scale character since I would certainly give it a cartoon animal design, and I was sure the hollow disproportion robotic thing would invite the obvious comparisons. I just went ahead and ran with it, building from my parts bins in maybe 2 hours total. In the end, my brother didn't let me bring it to his house for his party, fearing his 3-year-old would tear it apart. I considered building the white one for that reason. It doesn't look that much like the in-game model, but it's effective for what it is, and it actually stands up by itself, although it's too top-heavy for, say, a running pose. Now, Robert M. doesn't name what it is here in the email, but he attached some pictures, and you can actually see it's one of the characters from Five Nights at Freddy's. I believe this is Foxy. This is the guy that's behind the curtain there. It's definitely the red Foxy character there. It looks like a cyborg version of that, and the way the eye hangs out is really creepy. And yeah, I would not want to see that in Five Nights at Freddy's, or really probably real life. So well done if you were going for scary. So anyhow, Robert M. signs the email and then concludes saying, P.S., do you have the public photo pool for OLR active? No, Robert, we actually took that down on the old website a few years ago. It was being abused, and we didn't have a way to really effectively screen the photos that were going through there, and it wasn't really emails like this are so few and far between that, unfortunately, it wasn't really enhancing the experience. I think Twitter kind of took over. Now people just share their stuff on Twitter and we can kind of retweet and so forth. So unfortunately the photo archive kind of met its maker there. But the old website in general is really in need of a boost. And Jason and I have talked about that. We really need to draw Deekman into that too and see what we can come up with in the new year. But it's kind of tricky where I'm at because at the same time, I really want to make sure VOG has a lot of stuff. And obviously, we could always use more content for VOG. So a lot of my focus kind of goes over there. So orangeloungeradio.com kind of becomes, that's the place where the podcast is hosted and it works. So don't upgrade the Skype version over there so it doesn't break. So anyhow, there it is. That's our email tonight from Robert M. Let's go to the next email here from Raginator, who's been emailing us an awful lot because, as you know, he can't participate live with the show if you've been following his emails. So let's get on to the next. And Dark Tetsuya is saying, I know Deekman's got a lot of family stuff going on, so there's that. Oh, yeah, obviously. And that stuff comes first, please. I don't make money doing OLR, so I can't pay people. So I am beggars can't be choosers. I can only take help when people are able to help. But I appreciate all help. Moving on to Raginator's email. Hi, everyone. It's Raginator again. As per usual, I'm writing in. I have two topics for you. The first is short, but the second is a little long, so I apologize. For those that haven't noticed yet, Humble Bundle is having a Neo Geo bundle going on. Thank you for reminding me. I do have to get it. By the time OLR airs and this email is read, there'll be about a day and a half to 2 days left to jump on it. But nonetheless, I want to pass along the info. All in all, there's 25 or so games in the bundle, which a few of them can be redeemed on Steam. The rest are DRM-free. There's a few noteworthy games in there. Amongst them are Samurai Showdown 2 and 5, Art of Fighting 2, 2 or 3 King of Fighter games, and Metal Slug 1 through 3 and X. In my opinion, it's a good deal, even for the Samurai Showdown games alone, seeing as they're not on Steam. So, Yes, that is a good FYI, because we missed last week's show and a chance to bring that up.
But it's just running an emulator. You're buying ROMs, basically.
You are buying ROMs, but at least you're doing it legally, right? And then some of it's on Steam, so you have all that in, that built in or whatever. Is there achievements or no?
Not in the ROMs, obviously, but there's looks like the ones on Steam would be Metal Slug 1 and 3, and then they also have the King of Fighters 98 Ultimate Match Final Edition. And
is Fatal Fury is Fatal Fury Special in there? That's one of my very favorites.
Metal Slug X and the King of Fighters 2002 Ult Unlimited Match. Fatal Fury Special, you said?
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yes, Fatal Fury Special is one of the DRM free ones.
Okay. All right. Act Deft in our chat room talking about that there's some controversy there about the ROMs and the emulator that .emu uses for the games. He says he might call in about that later. I am behind on this news. If that all must come up while I was out of town, so I'm very curious to hear what's going on there. I did hear something. You know, it didn't come up on tonight's show, but I did hear something, and maybe somebody in chat or Loki, even maybe you know about this. Do you remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about the whole Bubsy coming back in the 1 and 2?
That's basically that- SNES...
Oh, my God. Yeah, I heard that that was basically an emulator and those ROMs and that the people putting it up there weren't even authorized to do it, right? I thought I heard that.
I don't. They said they got the permission, but I don't know if that's legit or not.
Oh, man, that's crazy. And see, that's another thing. Steam's taken some real hits left and right this year because be another thing that's like, going to make them look
like
silly.
Like I said, I watch a lot of Jim Sterling and stuff, and he reviews a lot of really shitty... or doesn't review, but like plays a lot of really shitty Steam games. And there's some, though, like that are fucking ridiculous to have copyrighted shit in them that fucking just get through the green light process and get put up there as legit games. Like they have Gabe Newell Simulator. And it's like, it's an absolute shit game. And there's, it's just, people just send this stuff through and it's just cluttering up the fucking Steam store.
Very curious to see about that. Now, just I heard that somewhere. I don't know that to be true, so I just want to put that out there. In fact, I just did a news search, and I'm not seeing anything about it. But I swear to God, I heard something out there this week about that whole thing. So with the Bubsy thing was not as A+. So I just allegedly covering my own ass there. All right, let's get to Raginator's second topic here. Only kind of sort of tangentially gaming related. All right, I guess we'll allow it. Hoping for your input nonetheless. See, I'm the oldest of four siblings, and my sister, 2 years my junior, along with my one brother, 4 years my junior, for the past 2 months have repeatedly offered to loan me some money to get me a new PC. I refuse for two reasons. One being that when they do something out of the kindness of their hearts, strings are always attached, this time being no different. Secondly, my sister isn't in a position to loan or give out money due to her own finances, living in a very expensive area of Alberta, Canada, owing way more on her mortgage. I feel like this is personal stuff I don't want to read on air. I told her specifically that her kids need to come first. And at least with the strings attached aspect, they told me if they were going to loan me the money, I was to get the computer that they wanted me to have, a low-end Dell. That I wouldn't run all my games and I'd be stuck with a PC I couldn't use and a debt that I'd have to repay. My brother seemed to have dropped the subject, albeit in a huff a month ago, but my sister apparently didn't and tried to be slick. She told me on 12/9 that she sent me via UPS a $200 Target card to be used on a computer and that I needed to be home the next day to accept it. That, despite the fact I asked her not to do it, plus I already had plans that day due to doctor's appointments. I couldn't be home all day waiting on UPS. Anyway, I was forced to reschedule my appointment. Then when UPS did show up, I refused delivery. Of course, 20 minutes later, my sister calls me in a huff and we had a massive argument. At this point, we're not talking. What's your points regarding this? Whew. Wow, this is OLR therapy moment here. You guys need to sit down and have a nice long talk about this. I think that's very nice that your family wants to do that. And I think you should acknowledge it as such and say, I think it's very nice that you want to do this, but, I really want to be able to do this on my own terms and build the system that I want to do. So, thank you, but, no, thank you. And I think that has to be that. And if for whatever reason they can't hear that, then I would kind of wonder why they can't respect your wishes that you want to go through that process of saving the money that you want to do and build the system that you want. Now, granted, there's three sides to every story, your side, their side, and the truth. So I'm only able to really say this based on what I'm reading in this email. I would just say you're not really under any obligation to accept a gift, But at the same time, you should probably acknowledge that, hey, somebody wants to do something nice for me, and that's a good thing. But this whole thing about the whole, I bought you a card and need to be at home and all that stuff, that's a little weird. But the fact that you refused delivery, you could have accepted the card and then taken her the card and said, you know, I appreciate this, but I'm going to give it back to you. It might have been a little easier way to do it without starting a whole fight there. But anyway, would you care to suggest anything to that, Loki? That's
no.
I did not realize we were going to be playing therapy on OLR in that email, but that's all right. I hope you guys can work it out. It's the holidays. It's the frickin' holidays. Hug it out. All right, one more email here. From YYR. Hello, OLR. Hello, LR. Feverishly working on diagrams for my provisional patent application. If that sounds boring, it's because it is. Ugh. I'm fascinated that you're going through your patent application. I would like to hear more about that process someday. Seated to my right, however, is Amy, and she is not bored because she is playing Ori and the Blind Forest. I don't know how I missed this game when it came out months back, but I took a gamble on it, grabbing it for $10 on the Black Friday sale, knowing absolutely nothing about it. Fast forward a bit, and I can honestly say it's a game I feel I have a responsibility to recommend to almost everyone. Specifically, if you like Metroidvania-style games at all and have an Xbox One, you need to buy this. The controls are perfect, the gameplay is just as addictive as it is in the best games in that genre, and the graphics... Well, as far as games with 2D gameplay and 3D graphics go, I've never seen one so beautiful. The music is fantastic, too, and some of the power-ups are really inventive and fun to use. It's not a super long game, so it won't take you away from your other bigger games for more than a few days. The chance is high that it will go on sale again when the big Xbox sale begins in a few days, very possibly to the $10 I got it for, but quite honestly, I'd pay the full $20 for it. It is that good, and if you buy it over the next few days, it will be on your best game of the year list. Rob, I'm looking at you and possibly winking. Surprise, YYR, I actually bought that game already. I bought it in a sale. I don't think it was Black Friday sale, but they did some other random sale. It was either at the end of summer or beginning of fall. I don't remember. There was maybe Labor Day sale or something. And Codeman was telling me what a great game that was, and I heard it was Metroidvania, so I actually checked it out. And I did really enjoy it. Admittedly, I did not spend enough time with it because... You know, it kind of fell in that avalanche of games that's coming out in the fall. But I do want to go back and spend some more time with it because I also agree it's a real gorgeous game. And you know I love me some Metroidvania. The game really ramps up in difficulty fast, though, from what I remember. Like, I remember I was, like, playing it in the beginning. I'm like, oh, this is easy. This is easy. And then, like, just kidding. So, yeah, there is that. But yeah, I've already checked that out, YYR. But I'm sure the listeners still appreciate a little plug and so forth. Have you checked that out, Loki, the Ori and the Blind Forest?
No, I have not.
You'll have to keep an eye out for that on the Steam sale, because I agree with YYR. It's almost certain to show up on Steam sale or Xbox One or one of those. So, all right. Lastly, hope you guys and all the listeners have a super ultra hyper mega Merry Christmas Championship Edition Turbo 3. Happy holidays. YYR or Aaron. Thank you so much, YYR. Really appreciate that. And you know what? I did get, by the way, your message about the multitasking game right in the middle of GamerX, so I have not had a chance to sit down and play that yet, but you emailing us reminded me I really need to do that tonight after the show, so love that. And Dark Tetsuya says, YYR should work for Capcom. And Orange Wright, adding something that you forgot, for matching service. Bob Coffee saying Alpha. Needs that as well. All right. There you go. That's the emails for tonight. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email in a future week, and we encourage you to do so. Meanwhile, it's time to get to the FUs of the week. We're going to get a little mad around here because, well, we do. Loki.
I guess it's, I don't know, F you to not knowing what my shift is going to be next year, because I'm trying to trade shifts with other employees, but I'm waiting for their managers to approve it. It's supposed to be within a 5-day time frame, but no one is getting back to me yay or nay. I hate it when, like, if they're not going to approve something, just say, listen, we're not going to approve it. Or, you know, listen, they've decided not to go with your shift trade. just let me know either way. You know, don't leave me in limbo.
All right. My few of the week, things have been going pretty well. I've had a pretty good weekend. There's not a lot I can give an FU to. I would say, FU to the computer problems I've been having now. FU to Skype. That is, FU to Skype. Fucking breaking my computer with the updates, and I really don't know how I'm going to fix it. I'm going to have to do some type of, like, deep clean where I go in and remove every single Skype file. I don't even really know how to do that, but that's time this week I didn't want to have to spend, and now I'm going to. But I'm doing it for you guys so we can make sure we continue the calls here on OLR, because having a listener interaction here on OLR is very important, and I would never say FU to that. So I will work to fix Skype, even if that means updating the computer, because honestly, the show computer hasn't been upgraded since... When did I throw the Diva Fit? That was when I was living with John. That was a while ago. That was... the Diva Fit was in the garage. That would have had to have been, what, 2000... Nine? So this... No. I'm losing track in my head. I want to say it was maybe like 2009 when that happened. Maybe a little earlier even. Like 2008. So
getting old.
I know, right? I can't remember
power
years.
Supply, well, no, I said the computer's getting old. Even those power supplies don't last that long.
Yeah, so it might be time to sub out a few parts. Maybe the power supply for sure. And I don't know, maybe try to put some more RAM or even another chip in there and just see if I can boost it to where it can run Windows 7 or something and some of the more modern stuff.
Just need but, to download know, more RAM.
I am such the type that's like, I don't want to fix what's not broken. But now it's breaking, so what can I do?
Because it never works correctly, just like stupid Unity and fucking Windows 8 and now Windows 10.
Doesn't.
It's like, for no reason, it just stops working. No one has the answer to why this isn't working. It's just, fuck it. Unity 5, no, not going to work.
Yeah. Tiger Claw in chat says, I remember the time OLR's computer went down after the video card died. That's when this computer came in, because and that was you guys. And I got to say, that is one of... I'm rendered speechless quite often on this show, I must say, by the generosity of the listeners and so far, because, you know, we don't ask for money or anything like that. But you guys banded together and bought fucking computer parts. And so this computer we're using is a listener donated computer. So there's also a tiny part of me that wants to make it last as long as possible. But I'm in a much better place. Not that I'm like rolling in money, but I'm in a better place. I'm certainly not, but I'm in a better place financially now than I was 6 years ago. So if I have to kick down a little bit of money to buy a new chip or some RAM or a new power supply or whatever, I don't mind. We'll make it work. So, all right. Anyhow, let's move on. We got a few more stories for you guys, and then we're going to try to open up the Skype line, but I'm going to warn you guys, it's going to be a little wonky tonight, so we'll do our best. Try to at least get some calls in here. So let's get to Loki.
So now they've added one-on-one rival battles for Guitar Hero TV. That's, of course, part of Guitar Hero Live, and I guess you'll be able to, once you've hit level 10, you'll be put against other similarly skilled players on one-on-one battles, and they said twice during every 30-minute slot on Guitar Hero TV channel, you'll fight another player, I guess. And then the winner of the challenge will receive an extra 100 XP. I don't get this game anymore.
I still need to get it. I keep saying I'm going to get it, and then I don't. So I need to pick that up, because... it was a lot of fun to play in the demo and so forth. And I have to admit, I was not expecting that out of Guitar Hero. So, I didn't drop all the money for it day one, but, I want to check this out. So
too many games and not enough time.
That's right. Isn't that it? And you know, we all have to hold down day jobs, so we don't get to,
I don't have time.
I know, it's hard
games. Unfortunately. Well, I end up staying up till 1 a.m. every day to play games. And get my nice 5 hours of sleep.
We try, though. We do the best we can because we love games.
Although, for some stupid reason, I can make tons of time for fucking Ingress, which is retarded.
Ingress is a game. It's just a different type of game. It's a social game.
It's a chore. I go farm.
I went to an Ingress party that had nothing to do with playing the game. It was just hanging out with some of the people this week.
Oh, I don't know who any of the people are. I mean, I've met them.
I got to introduce you to more of them. There's some really fun people to play.
Are.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. One more story for you guys, also about music games, and this one is about Rock Band 4, which I finally imported my Rock Band 3 songs over the weekend, so I have that to look forward to, playing all those games. But one thing I'm not going to get to do is play them online, because Harmonix said this week, we're not sure yet where online multiplayer fits in our roadmap. Now, Harmonix is saying that online multiplayer is very much on the table for Rock Band 4, but they don't know exactly where that fits in. On the Harmonix blog, David Sussman said, online multiplayer is a part of a much bigger conversation. We know it's at the top of a lot of people's want list. Online play with Rock Band is a big deal given the amount of different combinations of player, four potential instruments, different difficulties, song affinities between players, and so forth. There's a ton of testing necessary as well as technical backend to work through in order to provide a fun, stable experience. For any future development, especially features that have existed in our legacy Rock Band games, we want to be able to improve and refine wherever possible. In the case of online play, we have a lot of critical feedback on the Rock Band 3 design that we'd love to be able to address. Adding this functionality is very much on the table, but we're not sure yet where it fits in our roadmap. Part of our process includes taking your advice into consideration. Before we can deliver a feature as complex as online multiplayer, we would like to better understand what you want and find to be important. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to send out a survey about online play shortly. Blah, blah, blah. Fill it out. Now, Dark Tetsuya in chat saying, I don't get their holdup. I mean, didn't the previous games have online multi? Maybe I'm wrong. I've really only played a little bit of 3 offline.
Yeah, 2 did.
2 and 3 both had it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people are confused, because it's adding into that whole perception that Rock Band 4 was a step backwards for the game.
Let's just call it what it is. It was fucking rushed out.
Yeah, it was rushed out.
I mean, seriously. It shouldn't be. It's on our table of stuff that we're going to
add
into the game.
Should have been in there.
That's just features. It should have been fucking. If it's not done, it's not done. Don't release the game. Don't just put it out there because, oh, we need to get those sales in.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's the double-edged sword with that. I think Harmonix is in a tricky position, especially because, you know, let's not forget, Rock Band 3 had that EA money and it had that MTV money. So I think, in a way, Harmonix had to get the game out there to fund the game they really wanted to make. I realize that's a little that's
all
not
right,
what you want to hear.
I will give
nobody
them,
wants to hear that.
I will
but
give
that's
them the benefit of the doubt because they're Harmonix, but everybody else that fucking does the same shit.
That's true.
That's, you know, it stop releasing unfinished games.
Mm-hmm. So I hope they're able to work that in, but I feel like by the time you make that full game you really wanted to make, the game's going to be in the bargain bin, and then you're not really making
it's
a lot of
money.
It's
going to be the fucking sequel, or, you know, it's just like, you know, with Kinect and stuff. Well, Kinect's going to do all these fantastic things, except it can't. But Kinect 2.0 will, but it can't. But Kinect 3.0, it's like, no, I'm not going to buy that.
All right, we are to the point of the show where we're going to open up the Skype line over at 1-877-GAME-OLR. I don't think the toll-free number is working right now. I think I enabled something that now, because I can't log in on the desktop, I can't undo that. So I am just going to give out our regular Skype, which is Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. I'm going to warn you guys, we're doing this a little differently tonight, so I don't know how this is going to go. But fuck it, we'll do it live. So if you want to give us a call, go ahead. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. The Skype line is open now. If you do have general questions, of course, you can always yell those out in chat. If you don't want to actually call in, you can always give us the questions in the chat room. I would usually use tweets to fill time, but my phone is now dedicated to the Skype line tonight, which we are getting a call coming in on the Skype line, so I'm going to try and get to it right now. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Legend of Zaku here.
Hey, Zaku, how you doing?
Yeah, but it's been a long... Yeah, it's been like ages. I know. I've been slacking off on this OLR thing.
Well, welcome back. We missed you. What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing much other than, in about a minute, my birthday's coming up.
Well, happy birthday. You're a holiday baby.
Yeah, that too. And, you know, essentially right now, kind of in the midst of trying to switch over on FSX to the Steam Edition, mm-hmm. which is going to be fun. And hopefully that'll get me onto Windows 10. Other than that, it's like, I guess going on that whole Rock Band multiplayer thing.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, you're right. At some point, you know, Harmonix wants to avoid something known as scope creep, where because it's like, because of the actual requirements and the fact that they need to hit a hard deadline, they have to forgo certain features, even if they were standard. And I guess, you know, and the fact that they have to, you know, position themselves as trying to contrast against Guitar Hero Live, which, for all intents and purposes, I hear didn't do as great as Rock Band 4.
And you know what's interesting about that whole thing is I bet the history of the franchise really played into that. Because, I mean, I have to be brutally honest, as unfair and as it might sound of me, I kind of judged Guitar Hero Live based on the prior Guitar Hero games. And I probably shouldn't have done that. I think as they were released, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I kind of think Guitar Hero was the better game out of the box. And I kind of made a mistake choosing Rock Band 4 based on all these other promises. I don't know. It's weird. It's a really weird situation for me. But the reality is, there's only so many fucking plastic instruments I'm willing to have. And Guitar Hero took a huge risk changing not only where the instruments can't really be used, but they really changed the formula with the whole six buttons. I mean, you couldn't even use the old ones if you wanted to. So, unfortunately, the risk isn't paying off, and I almost feel bad because that's twice now that developer's kind of gotten screwed for problems that aren't really theirs, because that was the developer of DJ Hero, horrifically underrated game. And now they've got Guitar Hero Live, which also is kind of underrated. And I feel bad. I'm part of the problem.
Right. And I guess in Harmonic's case, to their benefit, by focusing more on getting the install base compatibility,
right,
and, you know, at the expense of, you know, online multiplayer, bringing it back to, you know, the core mechanics of, you know, of actually having to go to someone's place to play Rock Band, bring back that experience. I guess that was more important to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I said, this is a stepping stone, you know, provided that they make enough money that they could probably just add they could probably patch this in a later update. Remember, you got to keep in mind that Harmonix, you know, for all intents and purposes, would most likely release one version of their, you know, that Rock Band franchise for that platform's entire lifespan. Meaning that because you could actually patch in features, it shouldn't, you know, adding online multiplayer isn't like world-ending in that sense. Because, remember, they see it as a platform and not necessarily a release.
Right. And, you know, and I'm trying to be fair to Harmonix, and, you know, I think I kind of said what I said about the fact that, you know, they're in a different position now than they were a couple of years ago. But the reality is, niceness and understanding only go so far when you're asking for $100 of my money.
True, but at the same token, it could have been worse. Like, Guitar Hero Live, you had, like, almost zero songs from the original the previous release is carrying over. Like, you're talking about people who spent upwards of at least $1,000 on Rock Band DLC alone.
Sure.
in almost a decade that it's been ever since the first release.
Yeah.
So that's a hell of a longevity in terms of DLC literally carrying from one generation to another.
Well, at least Guitar Hero is doing something a little different with the whole streaming thing, but I get your point. I mean, I understand that. You know, Guitar Hero, and maybe that's part of the reason Guitar Hero also took a hit in sales, is that they didn't promise that backwards compatibility, so to speak, that Rock Band did. And I think that's one reason a lot of people were jazzed about Rock Band.
And that would completely explain why Harmonix had to cut certain features out, because obviously, you know, making the hard deadlines a lot more important.
But,
otherwise,
I think this is important. Harmonix still has not fully met that promise. It took them a month to do it for Rock Band 3. We still do not have original Rock Band, Rock Band 2, Rock Band Lego. There's still a lot of stuff missing, and I don't think that's okay. I don't think that was okay for them to misrepresent that. There's really no nice way for me to put it. I feel it was really misrepresented when they announced it, is that they're going to bring all that stuff out, but not day one.
Well, as I said, this is welcome to the world of licensing, where now the lawyers have to basically negotiate. They're basically negotiating with the music industry.
Well, negotiate it before you announce it.
True, yeah. You usually don't announce it until the ink is dry.
Yep.
But, you know, now they're pretty much caught right there. You know, they're exposed in that if for some reason, certain Rock Band tracks, unless they've specifically stated that certain tracks may not make it over to Rock Band 4 as a disclaimer, they're pretty much caught in the sense that, you know, their word, the only thing they have is their word, and if their word doesn't deliver on the, you know, $1,000+ worth of DLC certain Rock Band, you know, last gen Rock Band owners have, then yeah, you know, it would suck to spend all that money and only, you know, and all of it getting left behind as a result, because yeah. Harmonix basically, you know, they jumped the gun a bit too early in yeah. terms of trying to handle that transition.
Yeah. All right.
That pretty much could break the entire, you know, music rhythm genre for consoles in general.
I think you're right, and that's the really sad thing, especially having been fans of music games for so long, is that if both these games tank, there's not going to be rhythm games for a good... Well, I shouldn't say that.
There will be rhythm games,
and it's going to be indie, and that's going to be awesome, but the day of the plastic instruments is dead.
Yeah, and this is where, like, an arcade would... You know, Japan probably being the last bastion of rhythm gaming,
yeah,
or that area around the Pacific Rim, but yeah, you're
well,
right.
Well, unless
pretty much,
but I mean, for those that follow Kyle Ward on Facebook, something's up. So we'll have to get in touch with him later to get more insight on that. I don't want to comment on somebody's Facebook, but I think all that stuff is public, so it's not like it's not out there. But very interesting.
I know he went to Japan these past couple of weeks.
Yeah,
Grant Dad was in Peru, just like following him.
There's a video we're seeing, if you haven't seen it yet, where he's definitely dancing on an 8-arrow mat that you've never seen before.
Wait, I think I get it.
Yep.
Now, I think I may have saw that in my feed.
Yep.
An 8-hour... Oh, Jesus.
So, anyway.
That means he's probably... Unless he worked out something with Konami, that would have to explain his meetings out there.
You know, who knows? Anyway, I don't want to. I got to watch how far I go down that. We'll let him on the show when he wants to say talk about that. But anyway, Zaku, we'll let you go for now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take care, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Bye.
Have a good one.
You too. All right, that is Zaku there. Sorry, you're going to get Skype noises tonight on the show since we have to have this whole little rig here with my iPhone and all that stuff. 1-877-GAME-OLR, or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, if you want to give us a call. And I don't know why I gave out that 800 number, because, it doesn't work tonight. But we are getting... Oh, I'm sorry, Skype noise is coming through. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ACDEF.
Hey, ACDEF, buddy. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, like I teased with Reginator's email.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about the Neo Geo Humble Bundle.
Oh yes, you were commenting in chat about the whole controversy around the emulators. What's going on?
Yeah, basically, if nobody knows, because it did get some coverage, but it wasn't like really big. But basically, on the day the Humble got released, a friend of mine, a really close friend of mine, called Foxhack on Twitter, found some really interesting details about where they got the ROMs from for the games.
Hmm.
So basically, those ROMs came from torrents, pirate torrents of those games. And you can find them on the code they have. And also, a really big issue that also came from that is that the emulator at first was thought that it was like an illegal one, at least for in this case, .emu to use. So basically, after a day after... it happened. Basically, .emu came out and replied to my friend here that the emulator was acquired by GameTap, I think, and they have a legal use of it. But some other details appeared on this. I'm gonna pretty much quote something on here. I have on a set. Sorry, on a website I have here, some thread basically on MameWorld.
So if I'm following correctly, just to make sure, because there's a lot of moving parts here. If I'm understanding this correctly, the pirated ROMs, Neo Geo grabbed them and ended up turning around and selling them, which I have to admit is kind of some funny irony. And honestly, it's kind of like one of those, well, this is going to sound crazy. I don't see the problem in that. Turnabout's fair play. Now,
that's not necessarily the problem that they got the ROMs from an illegal torrent.
Mm-hmm.
It's so more the
what are they
going to
do? Like sue themselves? I mean, like
them.
Seriously, like.
Hold on, because ActDev's going to have a hard time hearing you. Hold on, ActDev, what was that? They're going to sue themselves? What?
Yeah, like, I mean, seriously, it's like, there's no way that the whoever illegally put those up there is going to have any recourse to, like, oh, those are our files.
Yeah, no, no.
No.
But, and I think this is where you're going, ActDev, the problem is the emulator, because the emulator technically is nothing. That's not technically illegal. I mean, I know a lot of people use them for illegal purposes, but yeah, if you include the emulator and you didn't pay for that, well, that's not irony. That's, you know, somebody did program that for homebrew stuff and who knows what, and that's a little bit of a different territory than the ROMs themselves.
Yeah, basically the ROMs are not the problem here. It's more like they're pretty much lazy, and .emu has a really bad history on laziness,
mm-hmm.
on doing ports and stuff, but that's not the issue here. The issue here is the emulator, and I'm gonna quote a post here on this thread that I linked on the chat.
Mm-hmm.
It says, the problem is Nebula that uses the MAME FM cores, Nebula being the emulator they use, which even to this day, we haven't got Jarek, a person who programmed the emulator, to relicense for commercial use. It's one of the biggest sticking blocks of their for relicensing efforts and all that stuff. So unless Elsemi, another programmer there, specifically rewrote them for this, then it can simply can't be legal. There's other main code in Nebula 2, so it's not really clear cut as they make out. Nebula definitely uses MAME FM cores, and some of the MAME bits I don't recall. So it probably wasn't legal for GameTap to use it, and it's likely not for .emu either, unless they replaced all of it. Though a reply from that says, from Elsemi himself, one of the programmers. I can hardly remember who wrote them. It was many years ago. But GameTap had their own FM, 68K and C80 cores that they plugged into Strip Nebula core and integrated them into in their platform. I just provided the code, and I was able to redistribute only the code written by me, Elsemi, and assistance on how to plug the other cores into the into their front end.
So to try and simplify this for listeners who might have a hard time following all this drama, especially with all these internal names of emulators and so forth, I get the sense what's happening is that MAME, which of course is the multi arcade machine emulator, very popular arcade machine emulator, if I'm not mistaken, it's open source. Part of open source is that the source code's out there, but you don't have the right to resell it. Am I correct?
Basically.
And so, essentially, if you're taking these MAME pieces and putting it in your Neo Geo emulator that I guess is being used on the Steam platform, they're essentially selling MAME. And I'm really oversimplifying it, but they're essentially selling those MAME parts, which is illegal, correct?
Basically, that's kind of it. Although, if .emu says they got those licenses from GameTap,
yeah,
which they acquired them legally, so there's not a big problem here, but it's kind of shady because they didn't came through at first with this, and it's still not clear where they got, at least in this case, GameTap even, how they got the code, or at least how they were selling those ROMs and emulators.
Well, realistically, I mean, I could see it one of two ways. I could see that they just put the MAME code in there because they were probably like, fuck it, it's our game, we'll do what we want. And I realize that's not what you're supposed to do, but that could be. But I could also see that they could have contacted GameTap to get that code because, I mean, GameTap is kind of, it's not with Turner anymore. They sold that years ago to an overseas company. They probably were able to get, they probably emailed somebody at GameTap, yo, do you still have this code? Could we pay you like pennies for this code, and GameTap was like, oh yeah, sure, we don't have anything else going on. I mean, they could probably got that GameTap code for pennies. I mean, so, but I don't know. But I this guy here does say that he gave the code written by him and assistance on the other course. So I don't know. Maybe they were able to get the GameTap stuff, but we don't know. And I don't think they're going to exactly be saying it. I guess we should be happy. I don't know, to try and put a positive spin on this, even though I don't know there is one. It is being sold on Humble Bundle, which a lot of that goes to charity anyway. So,
yeah, that's something that a lot of people did when they heard the story break.
Yeah.
And when they read my friend's Twitter. Most people did they did want the game, so they gave all the money to charity. So at least something good came of it. So, yeah.
Well, at least there's that. But very, very interesting. Thank you. I had no idea that that was the drama, but essentially it is that the MAME is basically being resold, and that's potentially. And that I can see where that's ruffling a lot of feathers. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you for the insight, ActDeft. I'll make sure that the money goes to charity when I pick it up.
Sure.
All right. Well, take care, my friend. I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze in one more call, okay?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Take care. All right, there it is. One more call there. And we're going to try to open it up for one more call to squeeze in, 1-877-GAME-OLR, or a username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, if you want to give us a call. I don't know why I keep giving out the phone number, because I just said it didn't work, but when you say one thing for hundreds and hundreds of episodes, it's pretty hard to get it out of your vocabulary. Loki, any last-minute things you're pulling up there while we're waiting for one more call potentially here?
Just the HTC Vive has gotten some sort of improvements, and because of that, I want to say that it was going to be pushed to April 2016, as far as the release date, and they're going to be showing off said improvements at CES.
Interesting. All right. One last shout out for calls, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. It looks like it's working. That's the good news. The only downside is I'm getting some of the Skype noises there, so I have to unmute and mute the cell phone feed from the mixing board. But that also means I can play stuff from my iPhone right there into the mixing board. That's kind of fun. Do you want to play some Flappy Bird? Have some Flappy Bird sounds? Want to do Ingress?
I'm just I'm dumping my keys out of my capsules because I had to put them all in there when I was doing that fielding, which, by the way, it made checkpoints, so that's good.
Hey, congrats. That's great. Did you go up on the leaderboards?
31.
Nice. Make 100 slots available so I can give you some gear when the show's over.
Oh, I've got tons.
I'll hook you up. All right. Let's see. I guess that's it. We're not getting any other calls, so I guess we're well after 9 o'clock anyway. So I think I'll go ahead and close up the Skype line there. And thank you guys who did get in. And if you didn't get in, you can always email the show. participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us an email. I'm very sorry I didn't get to the tweets tonight, but my phone was being taken up for something else. So I'll try to get to those next week. But that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We're back weekly. We will be here on Sunday. I think many shows you listen to will be having the week off, and they probably deserve it, but since we already have taken several weeks off, we're going to be here next week and the week after, right on into 2016 and the 14th year of Orange Lounge Radio, starting high school and going through that very awkward puberty phase. That is going to be our 2016 here at Orange Lounge Radio. Maybe our voices will start changing. We'll get a little deeper. Get a little deeper here on Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed the show, please tell a friend or seven about the show. Help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here, then we can't let them out there. So please spread the word. Tell a friend. Give us a 5-star review on a site like iTunes or Stitcher Radio or wherever it is that you heard about this program. Those reviews go an awful long way, and we appreciate them all. That's going to do it. I want to thank Rick for being on the show tonight from Tipping Goat Games. Everybody check that out. Super Slam Dunk Touchdown, available on Steam. Thanks to him for being here. And if you have an indie game you want us to check out, be sure to email us at Orange Lounge Radio. participate@orangeloungeradio.com. I definitely want to showcase more hardworking indie developers as we get into 2016. I met a lot of great ones at GX, and I hope to meet more at MAGFest and whatever shows I show up at in 2016. Dark Sakura had to leave early tonight, but I'm sure if she had a final thought, she'd say something like, reject false icons. We'll leave it at that. But Loki, how about you? What's your final thought tonight as we head on out for the night?
At least it's a short week.
It is.
I don't know. I was going to try to get my game done this year, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You only got a week and a half left.
I've been trying to work on it, but I've just been mentally exhausted. So, I actually have been working out very slowly, like maybe a minute or two at a time, because like I literally come home brain dead, and between calls, I don't have enough time to shift focus like that. So
it's been a rough year in some ways. I mean, I was going through a lot personally, especially in the first half of the year. Like, you guys know how long some things were taking to get done, and a lot of that I kind of blame on some of my personal life circumstance, and that's getting better, but. I stay pretty busy with work and so forth. So a lot of that, like, I wanted to do more streaming and more video production, but it's just kind of slack this year. I'm really hoping to kick that into gear next year. So we'll see what happens. So anyhow, my final thought tonight is thank you for spending your holidays here with us at Orange Lounge Radio. And I am so appreciative of the time that you spend to take to listen to our show. And it was great to meet some of you over at GX, and I hope to meet many more of you as 2016 moves on. Have a great holiday. Stay safe. And those of you that are fighting, like that email we had tonight, just try to work it out if you can for the holidays. That's what the holidays are really all about. That and so much candy that you go into a coma. Enjoy the Steam sale and the Xbox sale and the PlayStation sale that are coming. Try not to binge on too many games this week, but enjoy it. Happy gaming. Have a great holiday, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.